Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Another mild day today before things drop off. Mostly cloudy, breezy today, but we will see a high of 54. Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 25. And then tomorrow, 38 for the high, only 32 for our high temp on both Saturday and Sunday. And we do with the S word or the F word, whichever you want to pick. Basically flurries, maybe you can even call it a little light snow. Possibility of that tomorrow into Saturday. Right now it's partly cloudy. We have 39 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the southeast, 13 miles an hour. A man's been arrested in connection with a fatal shooting at an apartment building in Horace yesterday morning. A woman was found dead of a gunshot. 21-year-old Derek Lobo of Horace was later arrested on charges of reckless endangerment, child neglect, and a couple of outstanding warrants. Further charges are likely. The Cass County Sheriff's Office will hold a news conference at 1 this afternoon to release more information. A homeless man accused of pointing a flare gun at a police officer inside a downtown Fargo business has been arrested. Police say staff at a business in the 100 block of North Broadway called 911 Tuesday night. They say 35-year-old Samuel Platt pointed the weapon at an officer and barricaded himself in a stall. Police shot pepper balls at the door. Platt got out and allegedly pointed the gun at officers. They then fired a pepper ball and a less lethal impact projectile at him. Platt was arrested on several charges, including suspicion of terrorizing, unlawful possession of a firearm, and meth possession. Red River Valley SWAT's going to be doing some training today. The first part will be in the 50 block of 4th Street North near the Matt Bus Ground Transportation Center. That'll be from noon to 4. Officers will then go to the 1,000 block of 28th Street South near Avalon Events Center from 4 until 9. You may see SWAT team members carrying guns, but no live ammo rounds will be used, and loud noises and yelling will also be heard. There was a massive grain elevator fire in Hatton, North Dakota yesterday afternoon. More than 100 firefighters from a dozen different departments responded to the blaze at Anchor Ingredients. A wheat bin caught fire and collapsed, starting a second bin on fire. Crews are still on the scene. They've been spraying water all night and watching for hot spots. No injuries have been reported. North Dakota State University President David Cook is a finalist for a similar job at Iowa State University. He's set to participate in a public forum in Ames today. Cook has served as NDSU's president since 2022. A former Minot Air Force Base commander is chosen to lead the Global Strike Command. General Stephen L. Davis served as commander for the 91st Missile Wing between 2011 and 2012. He will now be second former commander of the 91st Missile Wing at Minot Air Force Base to become commander of the Air Force Global Strike Command. As Strike Command commander, he now oversees more than 36,000 airmen and two legs of the nation's nuclear triad. North Dakota's first women's prison is taking shape. The Heart River Regional Correction Center broke ground in Mandan in April. It's set to open in October of 2027 and will hold 304 inmates. The new prison will include mental health and medical units, education and job training areas, as well as transitional housing for women getting ready to reenter society. Other features include a new overnight visitation unit that will allow a mother to stay with their children in supervised home-like environments, and a nursery program for qualifying mothers to live with their newborns. Get ready for air traffic delays. Unprecedented air traffic limits could impact Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, as among as others across the nation. The FAA has announced that will reduce 10% of air traffic from 40 airports starting tomorrow due to the government shutdown. Two travel industry analysts told the Minnesota Star Tribune that MSP is likely to be included among those airports. Harvey Hartveit, a travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, says he's not going to lie. It's going to be an unholy mess for the next few weeks, if these cuts don't go through. And the St. Paul City Council is hearing from residents about a potential city ordinance aimed at restricting guns. The proposed ordinance would ban public possession of assault weapons, large-capacity magazines, and binary triggers. However, Minnesota's preemption law is aimed at block cities from creating their own gun ordinances. Rob Dorr of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus says the group plans to file a lawsuit. Time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
Thank you, Bonnie. Minnesota Timberwolves last night, well, Good news, bad news. Good news.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards returned.
Oh, he did. Okay. Well, I wasn't kind of expecting that. I thought they'd sit him out still, but.
I mean, I told you guys he was coming back.
Yeah, you did say that, James, and I didn't think so.
You didn't believe me. It didn't matter, though. Minnesota Timberwolves fell apart in the second half. They lost 137-114 to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Wolves led by four at halftime before getting outscored, get this, 83-56 in the second half. So defense has not been locked in yet this season. Not sure really what's going on. I think a lot of it has to do with kind of the team effort and not having your entire team there, especially Anthony Edwards. Doesn't help. Julius Randle had a game-high 32 points in the loss. Anthony Edwards had 15 points in his first game back, so he's still shaking out the rust. Wolves dropped to 4-4 on the season. They host the Utah Jazz tomorrow night. Tonight, the Minnesota Wild will visit the Carolina Hurricanes. They're trying to go for their third win in a row. They're coming off a 3-2 overtime win against the Nashville Preds at home. Minnesota is down in seventh place in the Central Division with 13 points, but a lot of season to go. Tonight's game will start at 6 p.m. Levi Drake Rodriguez is being recognized by the NFL. The Vikings D-tackle was named NFC Special Teams Player of the Week yesterday. He blocked a field goal and had a sack during Minnesota's 27-24 win over the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Rodriguez and the rest of the Vikings take on the Ravens, nevermore, at home on Sunday. College basketball locally last night. North Dakota State lost to UC Davis 80-68, while University of South Dakota fell to number 23 ranked Creighton 92-76. Tonight, University of North Dakota hosts UC Riverside up there in Grand Forks, and South Dakota State welcomes their bitter rivals, the Dakota State Trojans from Madison.
Oh, okay.
It's not very far apart between those two
towns. Got it. I thought you were going to say like NDSU or something, but okay.
No, it's early in the season. They try and schedule the cupcakes, you know, and non-conference
cupcakes.
Games. Well, Dakota State, they're like an NAIA school, so it's not like it's going to be very hard for them. Let's see. Tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, Moorhead Spuds football. They'll take on Centennial down in Spring Lake Park. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. All game coverage brought to you right here on WDAY, and it'll be hosted by the legend himself, Larry Knutson. Saturday, Larry will head down to the cities as Concordia takes on McAllister. 12 p.m. kickoff for that one. And then on our sister station, The Flag, tomorrow night, Fargo Davies, the lone Fargo school in the AAA division left. They are the top seed out of the East. They will host Bismarck at 7 p.m. Big game, James McCarty. And I will be there for all your coverage. And Saturday, it is Senior Day, the home finale for the Dragons as they get set to host Jamestown. We'll have an 11 a.m. pregame and a 12 p.m. kickoff. Just as an update, we got our interviews done yesterday. We got a chance to talk to three of the seniors that will be stepping onto the field at Nemzik for the last time, which... It seems like yesterday these three young men were all sophomores, and it's hard to imagine that this is the last time they're playing at home.
How many seniors are there? Is there more than
24?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so I mean, it is a big class. The interesting thing, I think, Bonnie, on our first year covering the team, it was such a young team. I believe we had one senior the first year we were covering the Dragons, and then going into that second year, so we had lost. Hayden to graduation, we had one young man transfer down to Mankato. So we had only lost like two players. So this team has primarily been together for the last three seasons. Obviously, we had some losses last year. There was 15 to 20 seniors last year. So this is an interesting class of seniors. You've got just an all-world quarterback graduating. You've got two record-breaking wide receivers, one of which should break the all-time NCAA Division II receptions record this weekend. So he'll be not only in the continue to be etched in Dragon football history books, but he will be on the National Division II record books as well. So it has been absolutely fantastic watching these young men play and get better every week and get to know them. So it'll be sad to see him walk off the field, but man, there's been a lot of fun watching them play and calling their games.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Enjoy today. Another, I guess, warm day. I would consider yesterday was absolutely gorgeous. Sun was out. Didn't even need a jacket. I mean, I had a sweatshirt on, like a light sweatshirt.
Good for you.
Didn't even need a jacket.
It was so warm.
No, it was just a gorgeous day. I was out talking to my neighbor, was hanging out with the dog outside all afternoon.
Were you talking to people?
My neighbors. Yeah.
Oh, so that's the one exception?
I talk to people. I just don't like crowds. I like people. I just don't like
You don't
like
even
crowds.
Talk to James and I after the show. You only text us.
You're such a liar.
No, I'm not lying at all. It's just the only
Was I not in your office for 20 minutes yesterday, probably?
I don't know why.
Bossing you around.
You were hiding from the other people that were in the building yesterday.
No,
that's
I was
what you were doing.
Bossing you around. I said, Thanksgiving's coming up. Thursday, Friday, holiday around here. Who's working? That's exactly what I said to you guys.
Yeah, and James is like, I thought the office was closed.
James is like, I will if I have to. And then Jace finally spoke up. So we will be here, you and
I. Yeah, I know.
Team effort, yay us. But no, another nice day today temperature-wise, and then things are really going to cool off. Mostly cloudy, breezy, 54 for the high. Wind southeast 10 to 25 with some higher gusts, dropping down to 33 for the overnight low. Tomorrow, cloudy, cold, flurries. 38 for the high. Grab that heavy fall jacket or winter jacket even. It's going to be cold. Winds north 10 to 20, low of 17. The deer hunters probably will be liking this colder weather. Saturday cold, chance of light snow, 32 for the high. Northwest winds 10 to 20. We're definitely having a killing frost coming finally as we will drop down to 17 tomorrow, 18 on Saturday for the overnight low. And then Sunday, partly sunny, continued cold. 32 for the high, northwest winds 10 to 20, and just kind of looking ahead past then, we'll get back up into the 40s next week. It looks like Monday, sunny and 40, 48 Tuesday, down to 40 on Wednesday as far as I can see at WDAYRadioNow.com. Dino's forecast. Right now it's partly cloudy, 39 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Wind southeast at 13. Just want to give a shout out to Bridget and everybody else involved in our WDAY Radio Farm special. Fantastic show yesterday. Had a lot of great content and just knocked it out of the park. Didn't listen the entire day. I had to take a little nappy nap and stuff, but sampled it all day long. And her two assistant ag directors, FFA members, they talk about experience, learning, the things they learned yesterday, hanging out with Bridget and resume builder for them. And they were so well spoken. She not only had them running around the building, helping get guests here and doing things. They were on the air quite a bit yesterday, too. And it was great to hear those young ladies. They're going far. 701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Is this Trucker Al?
It is.
I thought I recognized that number. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So are you saying that come Saturday night I get to meet all of you lovely people, you important people at the For Love of Dogs silent auction?
Here's his pitch.
It'd be so awesome meeting you guys. You guys are just rock stars.
Here's his pitch. We did give you some heavy love on For Love of Dog yesterday. I don't know if you were listening or not. But, yeah, the silent auction's underway. It kicks off today and goes through Saturday for Love of Dog Rescue. You guys can check out their website if you want to bid on any of the auction. And that is just a nonprofit that is so near and dear to your heart, Al.
It is. You would not believe how many volunteers are over there. Everybody works for free, and just to get them dogs and fur balls home, because there's hundreds of dogs that are homeless right now, and we just all take care of them.
How many dogs have you and Sharon fostered over the years?
Oh, God, half a dozen. Because Rigatoni, we had him over a year and a half. Yeah, so some of them, a year and a half. Some of them, a couple months.
Well, I'm glad you do what you do. And, yes, hopefully we have a great turnout for the event coming up this weekend at the Fargo Air Museum, right?
Yep. Yeah. And I got some spotted cow beer for the for the auction there. So,
there you go.
If you guys like spotted cow, I'm just saying, come on over and get it.
Saturday, 5 to 9, Fargo Air Museum. Go to For Love of Dog Rescue. Go to their website. You can bid on the silent auction items there, too, or get some more details and how you can get into that event. Al, thanks for the reminder on that.
Thank you, dear. You guys have a good day.
I didn't see him either, but I woke up and I see somebody had posted in the local Facebook group that the Northern Lights were out last night.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Somebody should put those away. Can't leave them out all the time.
I never
see them. They'll
freeze up. I never see. Well, you have to get out of the city lights, too. So they may have still been out when I was driving in this morning, but you can't see them with the lights of the city. So expect to see some pictures, I guess, on social media if you're on Facebook or whatnot. All right. We're going to have a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. First of all, your national news from ABC. Thursday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Hunter Chef Jeff Benda will be joining us today. Coming up about 7:10 this morning, he's gearing up for North Dakota's deer hunt. North Dakota deer gun season opens up at noon tomorrow. Minnesota season opens Saturday morning, but a lot of people hunt. A lot of people are looking forward to that. James happened to be in my office yesterday when I said, oh, I need to send Jeff Benda a reminder. And he goes, you think maybe you can ask him if he's got a venison chili recipe? So Jeff says, yes, he can serve up a venison chili recipe, but you can go to wildgameandfish.com to find all sorts of recipes that he has for wild game. And if you don't have wild game, you can just adapt them using whatever, burger, pork, chicken, whatever you have. But and his recipes are pretty simple for your average cook to make, too, which I love that. And then November 15th is America's Recycles Day, and Mary Aldrich and Jen Pickett, Minn Kota Recycling, City of Fargo Recycling, will be joining us coming up at 8:10 this morning, and we will chat more about that. Question of the morn, what is your favorite sugar-free beverage? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, Austin Erickson. We'll have your WDAY Radio news coming up at the top of the hour. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your weather, and Big Game James McCarty rounding out the rest of the crew with your WDAY Radio sports. Our question of the morning, kind of simple. What's your favorite sugar-free beverage? Phones are open, 701-293-9000. You can email us studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I am obsessed with these. There's these sparkling ice drinks that are sugar-free. They've been around kind of a long time. But I don't know, maybe within the past 2 years, I saw they have Starburst flavor ones. And I am just hooked on these Starburst ones. They've got the cherry. They've got strawberry. They've got orange and lemon. And just when I think I love one, I find one that, like lemon, I was like, I don't know about that. Bought the lemon and I loved it. And of course, the orange and cherry are fabulous. Strawberry's just like, okay, in my mind. But that would be my favorite sugar-free beverage, the sparkling ice Starburst. You do those little drinky things every morning.
Yeah, I do the Soda Stream. That
and is it because you love it?
I do love it. I do love my caffeine in the morning. So there's that. I mean, I guess technically you can almost say coffee is up there for me because I usually use like a Splenda or something, but I do need to have my coffee sweetened. So there's that.
Well, it's not really sweetened if you're using sugar-free.
Yeah.
So it's still
sugar-free. I mean, yeah, technically. I would also say you have the sparkling ice drinks with the Starburst flavor. There's a
sets with those.
There's a Kirkland brand that's got three flavors and one flavor I can't stand because it's like mango.
They have holiday ones on because Carly had them, some kind of ginger something or another. I took a sip of it and I'm like,
They have a strawberry kiwi and a blackberry one that are both real good. I do really like their. I think it's a Kirkland version of like a vitamin water, and I really like those. I meant to grab one before I left, and then I went down and did something else downstairs and forgot.
Sidetracked.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really like the vitamin waters. I think the last week and a half, when I've been under the weather here a bit, I've been kind of reverting back to just bottled water.
Ugh. I hate water, but I know it's important, so I do force myself to drink it. But that's what Mark said on Facebook. He just said water. Good for you.
It's important.
I know.
I
force myself. Yeah. I had two cups before I left for work this morning, and then here I already had another cup of it, I guess.
Yeah.
So three cups of water.
And I try, and I know that over these last week and a half, I know that I actually need to be drinking more water. And that's
everybody probably.
That's why I bought some more of the vitamin waters, but I just haven't really got into drinking them. My appetite and stuff been real low this last week and a half, so it's been a bit tough to try and get stuff, you know, eating stuff, and then obviously on top of that, drinking stuff. So you feel, I mean, part of it's probably a little bit of dehydration too.
Yeah,
so.
You don't want to get dehydrated. Okay, so you mentioned that SodaStream. Mm-hmm. Can you, Peter has on our Facebook page, his favorite sugar-free beverage is he makes his own carbonated water.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do that in the SodaStream too?
Yeah, I mean, because all it is a device, and we've also got a Ninja Thirsty where you can pick different flavors. It's more of a automated machine that you makes it, it drips it down into a cup where the SodaStream has a bottle, you attach it, and then you carbonate the water how much you want it carbonated. And then after you carbonate the water however you want it, then you can decide what flavor, what drink mix, if you want a flavor of a Pepsi or Mountain Dew product, an energy drink, there's some other flavors. You can even do there's little small bottles of like drops of flavoring, so you can kind of just have flavored sparkling water. Sparkling water just tastes weird to me, though.
So, like, would you consider it like a mineral water then? Because I like mineral water. Oh, it'd be different. Does it have sodium in it then if you're making carbonated water? I don't know.
Do you get sodium when you make
I don't
like
know.
Because you're just putting CO2 into the water to make it carbonated.
Oh, just CO2. Okay, because I like mineral water, but there isn't sodium in it. But that's what I'm wondering, if it was like cheaper to do that, to buy one of those machines and then make your own carbonated water.
It depends. My wife gives me a hard time, says, you said you were going to give up drinking soda with having the SodaStream. Well, the fact is that, like, when were we in Aberdeen? Almost 2 weeks ago now. And my sister gave me, they specifically bought Diet Pepsi for me. They bought a six-pack
nice.
Of bottles.
Yeah. My sister-in-law
so
does that, too.
I had one while I was there, I think. I drank one on the way home, and I've had one since I came home, and so I still have 3 bottles left, and they actually have some cans of that Diet Sam's Choice soda that when I buy it and I put it in the closet just for me, it lasts a long time because I don't really drink as much soda as I used to because I do start the day with this. But
I'm on day 3 of my mini tiny Diet Pepsi bottle, and it's still over
it's
half
flat and warm.
That's the way I
and
like
she
it.
Still drinks it. Uh-huh. It makes no sense.
I don't like fizz.
Then why buy it?
Because I like the flavoring of certain things, just like my mineral water. I open those up a day ahead of time, and then I drink
them. Do you want me to buy you the Diet Pepsi flavoring for the SodaStream, and then you can just take the bottle of water, and you can dump it in there, and you don't have to carbonate it?
No, because I'm not.
It wouldn't be carbonated. It'd be no bubbles.
I know, but I don't drink that much Diet Pepsi where I even crave it. Like I said, I usually do these sparkling ice. I just happen to have.
She just taunts me because she's able to buy, you know, afford to buy Diet Pepsi, and then she doesn't even really drink it or enjoy it.
I buy these. I thought they were only 8 ounce, but I guess they're 12 ounce bottles. Mm-hmm. And they come in, I think, an 8-pack. I maybe buy these 3 or 4 times a year, an 8-pack of
such
them.
A waste.
So I don't drink that much pop,
mm-hmm.
even if it's diet. What is your favorite sugar-free beverage? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger says nothing better than garden hose water on a hot day. I don't know if I would say it. It always had that taste, right? Like rubber garden hose. But
I mean,
we all drank it growing up.
No, but when you're hot and outside playing in the summer as a kid and you have that garden hose, man, that hit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quenches your thirst.
It's also why our immune systems are so much better than people these days.
Probably. Kevin says they don't do anything sugar substitute since most drinks have some form of sweetener. He'd say straight black coffee. Don't start the day without it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister that can't have anything diet either because she gets massive headaches off of it.
Yeah.
Artificial sweeteners.
Sometimes artificial sweeteners do that to people, yep.
701-293-9000. We go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho this morning. Good morning to you, Polly.
Morning to you too. How are both of you doing?
We are good. Chugging through the week. We are at Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday.
We got deer hunting season starting in North Dakota tomorrow and Saturday in Minnesota. So that's a pretty big deal in this part of the country.
Yeah, we just started ours about 3 weeks ago. So far, so good. I make tap water coffee, black coffee, and have that to start out the day. But I drink 4 to 5 20-ounce waters with ice in it to cool it down. And I carry it with me throughout the day. And I ice up whenever I can and just keep it cool. and I get plenty of ice water all day long.
Good for you. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing, drinking lots of water. My sister-in-law drinks ridiculous amounts of water, like almost too much. I'm like, you better be careful because you can actually drink too much water. There's been people...
Water intoxication?
Yep, people who have died over the years just from too much. And you're not drinking too much, Polly, but like my sister-in-law is crazy with the amount of water. She goes, yeah, my doctor says she's never seen anybody's urine so clear. And like, maybe that's a sign that you should cut back just a little bit on the water because, yes, it's important to stay hydrated, but I mean, there's excess.
And there is. And my time working in a nursing home, that was something for certain patients you had to keep an eye on because if they do get water intoxicated, they just overdrink on water, they, you know, I would assume your electrolytes, et cetera, whatever the case is, get out of balance, and then there were some behavioral issues associated with that. So, I mean, for certain people, you can't overdo it, but obviously for the rest of us, you probably need to push more fluids, you know? But
So for me, it wasn't the water that was intoxicating to me.
Yeah, back in the day. But no, it sounds like you are drinking an adequate amount of water. So good for you, the water and coffee. And I mean, I know coffee prices have gotten really expensive, but you're saving money on buying, you know, sugar-free beverages or pops or anything like that, too.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right, Paula, you have yourself a good day.
Okay, you too.
Yep.
See you guys.
Yep, thank you. I Googled real quick, like, how much should you have? And I know there's something they, like, tie to you. You should drink so many ounces.
It should be like, isn't it something like an ounce per pound of body weight or something?
Something like that. It varies from what you're
looking at. Or maybe it's 1 ounce of water per 2 pounds body. It's something that was like, I think I figured for myself that I needed to technically drink, like, I don't know, at least 8 cups or more. Maybe it was 12 cups of water a day.
Take half your body weight and drink that amount in ounces of water is kind of like the simple thing I see here. Mm-hmm. So on average, people, for adults, 9 to 13 cups, like depending on, looks like kind of the average rate. What is your favorite sugar-free beverage? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Heather says Diet Coke. Some people are obsessed with Diet Coke. My daughter, one of my daughters, loves Diet Coke too. But she, and same, she also likes those Alani drinks. That's Carly will also drink those. And if she's super thirsty, Heather says Powerade Zero.
Yeah. I like Powerade or Gatorade Zeros just because I'm just trying to not have the extra random calories.
If you read the labels on those, there's a lot of sodium in those energy drinks like that, or the, what do you, I don't even know, you wouldn't call them energy drinks, hydrating
sports
drinks. Sports drinks, there you go. Of course, I knew there'd be some boozers here. Dave says Michelob Golden, Jim says Captain Morgan and Diet Dew.
Well,
Jamie Hams.
The beer drinkers, there is carbs in those, so I'm not quite sure you would take. I mean, it's not a sweetened drink with sugar, but there are carbs and there are calories obviously associated with the beer.
I'd still count it sugar-free, though.
A lot of times, you know, Captain Morgan, if it's a clear alcohol, then you're probably going to have pretty minimal calories. The problem I have is that a lot of times these days, if you have your salted caramel crown, your peanut butter whiskey, your cinnamon whiskey, those are flavored with some very sweet, very calorie-heavy mixes and sugars that go in there. So those are not exactly low-calorie and definitely not sugar-free. But they taste good, though.
But yeah, if it's just the standard Bacardi, vodka, whatever, and you're doing it with water or sugar-free,
I think that says a lot about whiskey that you have to add all this sweetener, peanut butter, cinnamon, caramel, whatever flavor, just to get people to drink it. So
hard pass on
that tells you a lot about whiskey.
Ew. What's your favorite sugar-free beverage? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Thank you, friends, for being here. We do appreciate it. Bonnie Mastotti, Jace Denman, and you, thanks for hanging out with us. Our question of the morning, what's your favorite sugar-free beverage? Phone lines are always open, and we love to chat with you. 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I had to Google this one. Justine says, rain storm energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
Zero sugar, plant-based energy drink. Yep. Plant-based caffeine. It is the official energy drink of the Association of Pickleball Players. Justine, are you playing pickleball now?
She's not here to answer, Bonnie.
I forgot to. She's listening, though. I know she is. I forgot to tell you guys. This was funny. So Logan and Milos were in this pickleball tournament. Was it
the summer?
No, it was this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Monday. I think it was Monday.
Are you sure?
Yeah. And so they had it broken down according to, you know, how good you are. Because some people are like really, really good and they've been playing for a while. And you've got to be in tournaments before you decide. Or before they decide, like, where you rank and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they had it broken down. So I think they were in the lowest pool.
Sure, that makes sense.
Ended up having to play each other the first game. Yeah. Against each other, mind you. All day long. It started at, I don't know, what time was Logan there, like 7 in the morning. Got home about 12:31. Logan actually comes in, and he's got this gold medal around his neck. He took first place.
Did he really?
Milos took second place.
Yeah.
Logan at first, Milos took mm-hmm. second. And I just kind of chuckled, like, no way.
So Logan beat Milos?
I was just hoping, like, Logan would win one match or something like that. But I didn't know they had broken it down according to skill level, too.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you have to kind of do that, so.
But Milos is, like, so competitive. Like, mm-hmm. he's always the best at everything. And so that was, like, twice. Remember the first time he took last place?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So he did better. So, I mean, there's
he's
that.
He's still sleeping. And he's, what are you talking about, Milos? Because it's fun, Milos. That's why. What's your favorite sugar-free beverage? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Bonnie says Crystal Light she adds it to her water jug every morning. Was that kind of like the first thing, basically?
That was the first of those like little powder add-ins. I mean, now you can find all kinds of them.
Right.
I mean, my wife normally finds some at Dollar Tree.
So does Janae buy some there, yeah.
That she likes, and my wife will get a box or two for my youngest because she likes a certain flavor. I usually get like the liquid ones, like Great Value brand.
And it's basically similar. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Because I have like a strawberry kiwi on my desk, and I have the Southern Sweet Tea flavor too that I really like as well. But yeah, there's a lot of different little add-ins, and some of them have gotten, they found some that are supposed to be flavored like certain name brand stuff. Like there's Jolly Rancher ones or whatever. And it gives you that flavor of that Jolly Rancher in a drink, you know.
And with those, say, Crystal Light or the Mio Drops or offshoots of it or whatever, I don't think they really taste artificially. Like Diet Pop, say, has an artificial taste to it. Some of it's gotten better, the zeros and stuff over the years. But see, if you go back when we were growing up or whatever, you could definitely tell the difference. Like this is artificial or, you know, sugar-free and this is not.
And some of them, you know, they have a good taste. Other ones are, like you said, kind of overly sugary or kind of wonky tasting.
But the thing with that, you can adjust it too. Like you don't have to use the whole packet. You can adjust the drops.
That's why I like the liquid one better because then you can kind of put in as much as you need individually. Where normally, if it's a packet, I'll put the whole packet in and just be done with it because that's what it's made for.
We have a bunch of the packets and the drops still sitting in the cupboard, and I'm sure at some point you should probably throw those out. Yeah. They probably expire.
I don't know. I don't think they do.
Don't you like the artificial stuff? I remember.
I know it's usually
once,
fine. I've had stuff for a long time, but
I remember
you know, sometimes
opening a Diet Pepsi, and it had been sitting in the office fridge here for like all summer and whatnot. And it's like, wow. So that's what happens when pop turns back.
Sometimes if you because we've had that happen with some like cheap Diet Sam's Cola, right? And we drank some of them, and me and the girls, and we're just like, these don't really taste very good. And then you look at the bottom, and normally, when you go to the store, they're supposed to keep an eye on their sodas, you know, not just the Sam's Cola, but any brand, because it's got a best buy date on it.
Yeah, all inventory, yeah.
And some of them, if they're well past that date where they're the taste the freshest by, they start to not be as sweet, whatever. I mean, it doesn't taste as good. So, I mean, I think I choked down a number of them because I didn't want to waste them. But at the same time, those sodas that were, quote-unquote, expired, they did not taste right.
And I think it's the artificial sweetener ones more so than the regular because go back to – I don't even think expiration dates probably came in until, say, like the – 1980 or something, when we were real young, they didn't have expiration dates on pop in general. And even, I don't even think beer had expiration
dates. Well, that's why, you know, these days you're just like, is it expired? Then you look on the on the pack or on the can and you find it's like, oh, yeah, you know, best if you know, purchased whatever by, you know, January of 2025 and you're in November and you're like, well, no wonder why it tastes wonky.
I think the artificial sweeteners definitely go wonky a lot sooner than
I will say
sugar.
About like the Crystal Lights or the other little packets of powder or liquid to flavor your water. Sometimes I like that just because there's sometimes you're totally fine with drinking plain water because you're just kind of sipping on it. You're trying to stay hydrated or whatever. But if you're trying to get yourself to drink more water, sometimes if you put those add-in flavors in there, it can kind of pick up your desire to drink it because it's flavored. And so you can get yourself to sometimes drink more water by adding in some of those flavors. And sometimes that's what you have to do.
That's true. And I've found, too, like to force myself to drink more water, different vessels. Like different cups, sometimes like a stainless steel, sometimes just a mini cup because then I can drink several. I have to play mind games with water just because.
As long as you're not one of those people that has to carry around your giant pink Stanley mug because I got to get my ounces in today. I have to get my water in.
Are you talking about Janae again? She does carry around like a pink Stanley or
something. I was just saying in general, there's
that's
more
than. My sister-in-law's like that. And it's just like she drives a special needs bus in the St. Cloud area and she's got this massive 2 gallon jug and I think she fills
it like four or five times a day.
It
is not a Stanley one. Now, this one that I have is like a 24-ounce one, maybe closer to 32. But I know my wife has got this mug. It is not a steel insulated one, but it's this great big one. It looks like it literally holds like 64 ounces. And she was just like using it for water or whatever around the house. And I'm just like thinking, that is the dumbest looking thing ever. I mean, you couldn't just simply have a 16-ounce one and refill it with the filtered water. You got to drag a 64-ounce cup around the house to get your water in.
Some of those are annoying, too, because they don't fit in your cup holder in your vehicle.
They don't.
That's what bothers me. Like, if I have a cup of any size, I want it to be able to sit in my cup holder in the vehicle.
And that's why you have to make sure you get one like, you know, like this
slimmer
one that's taped, that's tapered,
whatever,
and this is still a big one that doesn't fit like in our workstation vehicles.
Yeah.
It fits in mine, but it doesn't fit in the workstation one, so there's other ones that are more narrow so you can get something like that and be able to have it fit in your drink holder.
What's your first, what's your favorite sugar-free beverage? That's
maybe what's your first sugar-free beverage as well.
Whatever. Favorite sugar-free beverage, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jeff just says black coffee, and happy belated birthday. I saw it was Jeff's birthday yesterday, too, that we missed out on.
Yeah.
So happy birthday to Jeff. Yeah, you all you booze drinkers out there on our Facebook page. Okay. Some new Coca-Cola holiday ads are kind of getting hacked on, and I'll tell you why coming up. But first of all, we're going to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:56 Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We had a bit confirmed Justine does not play pickleball, just has to deal with middle schoolers. So I knew she'd be listening here this morning. Aw, I had a sweet email yesterday, Bill Gromish. We love him over at Hope Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Helping those with mobility challenges be able to participate in different activities. And they're going to be holding their first ever Lil Miss and Mr. Hope Inc. pageant coming up.
Oh, nice.
When's December 6th. So he asked if I would be one of the judges for that.
Oh, there
it's
you
like,
go.
Absolutely. That's an easy ask right there. No problem. And that'll be over at Horizon Middle School in Moorhead. And that's coming up December 6th. From 10 to 12. And yeah, it's fun. I had to do that at Potato Days in Barnesville one year. They had like little kid beauty pageant. I don't remember what it was called or whatever, but it was super cute.
Well, it's nice.
Yeah, and they're so proud, too. They're all, you know, the young and old. These are for the kids that are 17 and younger, two different divisions. But they get to wear fancy duds and come out on stage and get to talk about them and I'll be gentle on my judging, of course. They're all going to be precious.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So, yeah, that was an honor. I told him, absolutely, I will do that. So, looking forward to it. Okay, so I see Coca-Cola. Normally, their ads you see, whether it's Super Bowl, holidays, or whatever, top-notch work, right?
Right. I mean, I think, wasn't there something, maybe it wasn't last year, maybe it was the year before, but I thought there was not a controversy or anything, but I thought they were giving them a hard time about their commercials with, like, the polar bears and the fact that like the entire commercial was computer animated or something. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember the controversy. I remember the commercial. I don't remember the controversy.
I thought they were giving them a hard time because like the entire thing was like animated or something. You're like,
well,
whoa, whatever.
You have to make them look cute. Who cares, right? Well, they've done AI-generated holiday ads now, and people are complaining about how terrible they are. They're glitchy. They've got Coca-Cola trucks. They appear to change shape as they roll through festive villages.
Yep.
And so now the studio behind these AI-generated ads say, oh, Coke is pioneering AI, rather than waiting for it to be 100% ready. It's like, okay, nice cover.
I don't think so, because a lot of times, especially when these big companies like a Coca-Cola, they have such a huge budget to make these commercials, right?
There's a lot of money that's been spent on them.
And so they can go and they can take their time and get these just right. So for them to throw something out there that is wonky, because I don't know if you've seen a number of those like AI videos. There's programs that people use on social media where it kind of like it'll take a picture. And it's like you can ask this like ChatGPT or this AI thing to say, you know, animate it to what happens next. And some of the results are usually pretty funny. But there are certain AI videos out there that you're like, well, that's definitely AI because what happened in it makes no sense. You know what I mean? And the animation style, all of a sudden it's a cat and all of a sudden the cat acts like it's talking to a person and instead of acting like a cat. It stands up and, you know, almost has hands, or it's just, it looks really goofy and you're just like, well, that's not very realistic. So why would you even put that out there? And so it's like one of those things where, if you're going to have a national ad campaign, you would want it to look right.
And like I said, they spent a lot of money. And you think, okay, you're going to get that before you release it to the public. Like, wouldn't you have been like, nuh-uh, this isn't working, good enough, we're Coca-Cola.
The different, like, festive villages or whatever you're driving through, that's fine, but the truck keeps morphing into a different shape. It doesn't stay the same truck. You want the truck to stay the same the entire time, you know, to look like a, hey, that's a Coca-Cola truck. You don't need it morphing into, like, different shapes and changing the side, because there's so many times people are just, they try to make these AI pictures for an upcoming game, and it's like, you know, an NDSU versus SDSU, you know, make a graphic for it. And it's got some kind of green and gold buffalo playing, you know, with a blue and yellow rabbit or whatever. But it's all kind of wonky and the logos are not accurate. So it's a thing you got to be careful with before you publish it, or at least let people know that this is just some cheap AI thing, you know.
Yeah, be proud of your product, right?
Yeah.
It's your name brand. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki calling for mostly cloudy skies today. Breezy conditions, 54 for our high. Winds will be southeast 10 to 25, 33 our overnight low. Weather will be changing tomorrow. It's going to be cold for the weekend. Cloudy, cold, flurries tomorrow, 38 for the high, north winds 10 to 20, dropping down to 17, so definitely a hard freeze finally. We haven't really seen that. We saw some light frost, but not a hard freeze. We will be seeing that the overnight tomorrow. Saturday, cloudy, cold, chance of light snow, 32 for the high, with winds northwest 10 to 20, 18 for the overnight low. Continued cold Sunday, partly sunny, 32 for the high, north-northwest winds 10 to 20, with a low of 20 degrees. And I am seeing some 40-degree temps next week. Right now, it's partly cloudy. We have 39 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the southeast at 12 miles an hour. 6:05, we are going to get your national news in from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:09, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports. You look like you're ready for hunting season or colder weather for football coming up this weekend.
Well, I was preparing for hunting yesterday, doing laundry, and starting to get the truck packed up, all those great things after work. So
you're not stressed about it, I hope, are you?
Oh, there's no
reason.
Are you
seasoning your clothing outside, like Steve Carney tells us?
I should be right now, but I threw in a load with the scentless stuff at this point, so
okay.
I'm slower than I should be with all of it. But that's just
because
I'm
busy.
Yeah,
right.
So Minnesota Timberwolves last night, they were up by 4 points at the half in New York against the Knicks, and Anthony Edwards is returned to the lineup, and then they would get outscored 83-56. The final 24
yeah,
minutes. They
crazy.
Would fall by 23, 137 to 114. Julius Randle had 32 points to pace the pack. 21 points from Dante DiVincenzo. That was his first time back at the Garden since being traded to Minnesota. Randall did play in the game at the Garden last year for the Wolves. Anthony Edwards had 29 minutes on the court. He was 5 of 13 shooting. He had 15 points, 5 assists, but he actually had the worst plus-minus on the team at minus 25 last night. So really struggled with knocking the rust off is probably the best way to say it last night. The Pack at 4-4 in the season. They're going to host the Utah Jazz on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Men's college basketball last night, the NDSU Bison, they were tied with UC Davis. They actually led for the majority of the first half, but it was 26-all at the half. The second half, both teams had increased scoring, but Davis, the Aggies, would outscore the Bison by a dozen, 54-42. So it was an 80-68 final. The Bison fall in that one. Mekhi Strickland would end up with 17 points to pace the way for North Dakota State. Tonight, you're going to have North Dakota men's hoops. They're hosting UC Riverside, 7 o'clock up in Grand Forks for that ball game. Tonight, high school volleyball, the state quarterfinals for Minnesota. You have in the AA division, reigning state champion Holly, the top seed in that 2A division. They're battling 8-seeded New London Spicer in St. Paul. That's a 1 o'clock first serve for that one this afternoon. We'll have updates for you, and we'll let you know later on in the day who ends up winning that one and moving on to the semifinals. This evening, the Minnesota Wild will begin their road trip. They're heading to Carolina to battle the Hurricanes. Puck will drop at 7 o'clock, and the Wild are now 5-6-3 on the season. As we look ahead to the rest of the week in our family of stations tonight, Primetime Sports at 6:30 will get you ready to roll for another great week of athletics for us on our family of stations, including Spud Playoff Football, the state quarterfinals against Centennial at Spring Lake Park. That's tonight at 7 o'clock, and Larry Knutson will be on the call right here on WDAY Radio for that one. Then on Saturday afternoon, you have Cobber football at McAllister. That's a noon kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call. For Jason and I, the rest of the week, we're on our sister station, the Flag. State semifinals in the 3A football division in North Dakota. Fargo Davies battling Bismarck High. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff Friday night. And then on Saturday, over on our sister station, the Flag, we have the home finale and senior day for Minnesota State Moorhead for the Dragons as they take on Jamestown at 11 a.m. pregame, a noon kickoff. And some great conversations with a handful of seniors from that class of the Dragons, Jack Strand, Gage Florence, Cody Sorensen, and then head coach Steve Lockway as well. So we may or may not end up long on those interviews, so you might be more interview-driven than analysis in the pregame here this week.
Okay.
But that's all right. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. And the Fargo Force, they have a matchup literally this afternoon. They're 11 a.m. puck drop today.
What?
But, yep, so they have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday weekend this weekend.
Oh, that's an right. early
yep,
game.
11:05 is the puck drop here. Wow. Later on this morning as they begin that road trip a week from tomorrow. So it'll be Friday, November 14th, Saturday, November 15th. They have a couple of home games, and you can either go to the Shields Arena box office for those tickets or go to FargoForce.com if you're looking to try and maybe get those ordered up while you're at work here today.
There you go, and we should have some tickets to give away next week for that Fargo Force series. Kevin Wallivan, everything he touches is gold. You know, he did a follow-up on a young man from Perham, Minnesota, on the basketball court back in 2011, went into cardiac arrest. His name is Zach Gabbard.
Yep.
Did a follow-up story with him, which is super cool. Watched it last night. He's now a paraprofessional at Robert Asp School in Moorhead. He's been there a
is
number
he really?
Of, yeah, he's been there, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or something like that.
I think I actually met Zach after this heart issue. And I want to say he used to come to the downtown Y and used to play a little basketball with us after that. So I remember meeting him. So 2011, yeah, that probably would have been, you know, 2013 through 2015-ish or something like that. So that's been a minute since I've seen Zach. So it's good to know that he's still doing well.
It was a nice follow-up story. Yeah. And I saw the package where they had like a year later or whatever, his team made it, Perham made it, I think, to tournament maybe, state tournament.
Uh-huh.
And he was in the wheelchair. They brought him on the court. And I still very vividly remember that. Kevin used it in his piece yesterday on WDAY television. But Zach Gabbard is paraprofessional. Always wanted to be a teacher, but his life changed with going into cardiac arrest. So now he's a paraprofessional, still working with kids. and he has started the first disc golf course at Robert Asp Elementary School in Moorhead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, different
good
opportunity for
yeah.
kids to do, and it looked like really nice. So I'm sure yeah. they did some applying for grants
yep.
maybe to get the disc golf course set up and mm-hmm. interviewed some of the kids and interviewed him, and it was just a very, very nice piece. You yeah. can see more at WDAY Television or check out inforum.com. But it was nice to see a follow-up
yeah,
on the young
absolutely.
Man who
I mean,
lucky to have survived that to begin with.
Yeah, and I vaguely remember the story, Vaughn. And I like I said, I remember seeing him at the Y because you're just kind of thinking at the time, holy cow, you're trying to get back out and shoot a little hoops with a bunch of old guys there on the court with us. But, I mean, it was good to see him on the court a decade ago. And mm-hmm. Obviously now to know that he's still working with kids and, you know, contributing, you know, in his own way mm-hmm. to our society by helping kids and then getting him involved in something physical like disc golf to get him out walking, playing with the Frisbees. So.
And I guess he plays disc golf all over the country, mm-hmm. too, in tournaments
oh, okay.
and stuff. So,
yeah.
good story. Great story,
awesome.
Kevin Wallivan. Flatland Music Flashback, that's going to be coming your way around 6:56 this morning. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist, the only artist to have a number one single on the Billboard charts each of the last 6 decades. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56. This story I know is going to make rounds. Local story, Fargo's Harm Reduction Center and what they are now providing, they've already been providing needles. They're going to be providing something else.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up next. Always having fun here on Bonnie and Friends. Thanks for being a friend. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, Austin Erickson with your WDAY Radio News. We'll cover weather for Dino today. And Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. Hunter Chef Jeff Benda is going to be joining us 7:10 this morning. I think he's going out west to go deer hunting, but he's not leaving until after he's on with us.
Oh, there you go.
He brings his daughter Lucia to
mm-hmm.
school. So he's super excited. North Dakota's deer gun season, as tradition, starts at noon tomorrow. Minnesota starts tomorrow morning. How was it? Half hour
before sunrise.
I think so. So, yeah, it's opening deer weekend, so a lot of people are super excited for that. So he'll be serving up a venison chili recipe. And I know you can go to wildgameandfish.com mm-hmm, right now if you want. He even has a venison queso dip recipe on there that I saw.
Hmm.
Like, just not your standard venison. I mean, you might get tired of it or your family might get
yeah,
tired of it.
Well,
so there's different recipes.
And I think that's
enchiladas.
I think that's the biggest thing with his recipes is that he's showing you that some of these you know, next level dishes, you can use your venison, your wild game and fish to make these things. I mean, yeah, I kind of look at it from the opposite view, which since I'm not a huge hunter, I look at those recipes and like I could adapt this using my ground beef or chicken or whatever the case is. But at the same time, he's showing you that you can take this, you know, meat that you obtain from hunting and you can make it into some high-quality food,
yeah,
you know.
Don't give your family venison boredom. It happens. Yeah. I mean, I come from family yeah. of big hunters.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes
I mean, like,
you just, it's like, really, venison
back, you know,
again?
You know, back in the day.
It's made the same way.
Yeah, back in the day, it was simply just like, well, we'll have deer steaks. That was the only way we had it. And, of course, the best way to eat it then when it was real hot coming right off the grill, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have that ground venison mixed with, like, bacon or something so you can make it burgers or whatever out of it. And so there was only, like, it felt like there was like two things to do with some
same
of the stuff.
Same old, yeah.
You know, and James, you know, usually a lot of times when he talks about, I believe it was when he duck hunts, you know, we're going to make, you know, poppers or whatever with him, or we're going to have bacon wrapped duck or whatever the case is. So, you know, expand your horizon when it comes to using your wild game and fish and how you prepare it, because mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be like one way or nothing, you know, there's multiple ways to do stuff and get it to taste just top notch.
Yeah,
so.
Just because you then like again, something the same way doesn't yeah. mean your family does, and you've probably heard it from them. So
mm-hmm. of course,
step out of the box.
Of course,
a little
it doesn't
bit.
It doesn't hurt that, you know, Jeff is a top notch chef. And
But he makes his recipes easy,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
Like anybody should be able to follow his recipes. WildGameAndFish.com. And again, Hunter Chef Jeff Benda joining us coming up 7:10 this morning. Just heard from Crash Veterans Honor Flight. They had their
meat raffle
last night, Wild Rice Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. They pulled in $665. So thanks to those of you who stopped in. Yeah, that's some pretty good money that they raise every other week. So every other Wednesday, Wild Rice Bar and Grill. Last night was the night. So 2 weeks from Wednesday, they'll be back at it. Wanted to bring this up. I see our partners over at Valley News Live have a story. The Harm Reduction Center in Fargo has now added glass pipes for drug users.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I know the needles that they hand out have become controversial. Some people are really opposed, don't think that's right. And I imagine there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be even angrier to know that they are handing out glass pipes as well.
Okay, so obviously a lot of us understand why they would hand out needles. You're trying to give out clean needles to try and prevent the spread of diseases that can be obtained intravenously. What is the purpose of the glass pipes to give fresh ones to people that are using them? Is it a reduction in any type of transmittable diseases, or what is it?
Through saliva, you can transmit diseases. They are even giving out mouth guards and antiseptic wipes, they say, to reduce the spread of HIV. Mm-hmm. Hepatitis would be another
one,
well as other diseases. So, just like you say, with the needles, they're trying to prevent disease.
Yeah.
They say these are safer smoking supplies. I know City Commissioner Michelle Turnberg has been super opposed to this, so I'm sure she's not going to be happy with this, and I imagine this is something Jay Thomas will be talking about today as well.
I wouldn't necessarily say a tricky situation or anything, but the fact of the matter is that these, you know, substance abusers are going to do this regardless if people are giving out free needles or pipes, number one. And you're trying to prevent the spread of serious diseases to other people. So if you can cut down at least on something like that, which would reduce the need to have health care or certain types of health care for these people that are more than likely either homeless or living in terrible situations, you're trying to cut down on health issues that can tax the healthcare system here. Mm-hmm. So
Robin Litke-Saul, prevention coordinator for Fargo Cass Public Health, she says she knows that it'll face criticism, but what people need to understand is by doing this, it makes our community safer, it's reducing disease, it's saving lives, and saving taxpayer dollars.
Yep, exactly.
Program operates under North Dakota state law, is funded entirely by federal opioid grants. No local tax money is used. But I'm sure, like I said, there's going to be people like, are you kidding me? Now you're handing out needles, now you're going to be handing out glass pipes. Story that happened to catch my eye when I was searching for news. And like I said, our partners at Valley News Live have a story on it. And you can always read up more on that at valleynewslive.com. Every once in a while, you'll hear a story about a deer crashing through a glass door or window or somebody leaves a door open and getting into a home or apartment or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watertown, South Dakota. There was a suspected break-in at a rental property. And the best part about this is cops had their body cameras on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a deer, a big buck that was inside this apartment. Thankfully, the person that was renting that apartment was not home at the time because they get freaked out, right? They don't know what's going on. All they want to do is get out into, you know, the tree in the woods or whatever. And it's so you can see it. It knocked over like a big kind of a short dresser, but it looked like a short dresser. It knocked over. It was up on top of the tenant's bed at one point, just all sprawly, kind of like Bambi gets on the ice, you know, and it's bigger than that.
You know, maybe it didn't have a memory foam, you know, pillow top, so it was trying to get comfortable and figured that nobody's home. I can crash here for a while, but obviously the deer's on the run.
Yeah, cops
trying to hide out.
Picked up some chairs and, you know, trying to protect themselves because you just never know when the thing is going to turn
wild
on
animal,
you.
Yeah.
And so they managed to guide it to the front door and get it out of there. But like I said, the best part is one of them has a dresser drawer he's carrying. The best part is just how great and that they released their
body camera
video. Yeah, ABC World News had the video on that. So, if you want to, I'm sure it surfaced down in South Dakota television, probably.
Probably, but, yeah.
Yeah, well, That just happens. And be careful, too. As we mentioned, deer hunting season starts this weekend. The deer rut is picking up here, and they're just going to be on the run. So if you're driving, you know, at night, dawn or dusk is a particular dangerous time. Just be very, very careful. Pay attention. What was Steve Carney? Is he 24 deer he's already hit over the years, he said?
Something.
Because he's coming out of the field or from the lake late at night, or he's going out early in the morning. And when you work those hours, it's bound to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because what was Steve saying? It was, it was some huge number of deers that he's hit, but I can't remember if he's, like, has he had the same old pickup the whole time?
Oh,
so.
I think probably he's probably had a few
new
ones. I know he's now a police chief elsewhere, but a former Clay County deputy, I think, and he worked that late night shift too. And especially you get out in, well, it's North Moorhead now, but Oakport Township, deer are just crazy out there. And I want to say at one point he had hit like 11 of them in a few years span. Yeah. I remember Logan had a friend out there, and the first time I brought Logan out there, and it was already getting dark out, so it was dusk because he was going to go have a little sleepover, and it's just like, oh my gosh, the deer on the move that time of night. Yeah, so just be very careful. I see the death toll from that UPS plane that crashed in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So initially they reported that there were three people on board. Well, we knew it burst into a massive fireball, that they were dead, and then it rose to seven. Last night they came out, now there are 12 people dead.
Yeah, when I heard it yesterday, they were already up to nine. They were thinking nine minimum, and then there might be a 10th one, but obviously it depends, because obviously when that plane crashed then, the engine fell off on the left side. There were other businesses that were impacted and it crashed into. So they were trying to find everybody that maybe was not accounted for. And so, yeah, I could definitely see that rising to 12. Hopefully it doesn't rise any higher, but we don't know quite yet.
People with some significant injuries, and they say it's possible. Also among the 12 killed was a child. There was a salvage yard right there, and the child was with a parent at the salvage yard. That child also killed. It did burst. I mean, I'm sure most of you have seen video, just a black plume of smoke. And we saw people, some were just standing around. I suppose they were in shock, where others were running away and stuff. But there was a petroleum recycling facility right there. Can you imagine? That could have been terrible. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a number of people with various, you know, cuts and glass injuries, as well as some burns, too. So
I've seen the, like,
hopefully
the,
no more die, but
there's been a few videos where they've had, I think there was like a truck driver with, who was sitting there, and then you've got a camera, because a lot of these cameras are these trucks these days, when they drive around, they've got a camera to record them driving wherever. And then it's also got a picture, you know, a view of the driver and the reaction to some of these people that saw it as it flew past them. It's just, they're just absolutely shocked, you know, and I can't imagine my reaction if something were to pass like that right in front of you, basically.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like like they said, there were some standing right in that area, and sometimes it takes you a bit. Like you're trying to, like, grasp, like, is this actually happening before you're able to react and hopefully flee from the scene. But, yeah, I'm sure a lot of smoke inhaled by people that were in that general area, too. So latest news on that, 12 dead. ABC News will continue to update us on that. It is 6:30. Good morning to you. And thanks for hanging out with us. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki calling for mostly cloudy, breezy conditions today, but a nice day, enjoying the last day of the warmth for a while, because it's going to turn very cold for the weekend. 54 for our high today, winds southeast 10 to 25 with some higher gusts, 33 the overnight low. Tomorrow, cloudy, cold, flurries, only 38 for the high, north winds 10 to 20. We will have a hard frost tomorrow night as we drop down to 17 degrees. Saturday, another cold one, chance of light snow, 32 for the high, winds northwest 10 to 20, 18 the overnight low. Sunday, continued cold, partly sunny, 32 for the high, and then it looks like the start of next week, Monday through Wednesday, we'll get to 40 to 48 degrees. So it'll bounce back up, but very cold this weekend. Make sure you have a jacket, maybe your winter coat, maybe a heavy fall coat tomorrow through Sunday, because it's going to be even colder than we would normally see this time of year. Right now, it is partly cloudy. We have 40 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the southeast at 16. Jace was just watching the Watertown Police Department's video of that deer in the apartment with the volume up. I didn't watch it with the volume up.
It was pretty funny because the guy, you know, there's this, you know, screen or whatever. And then maybe the window itself obviously is broken, and so they're checking it out. And so two police officers go in there. And they're in this open area, this little small area where you come in through this main door, I think. And the one police officer opens up the opens up the bedroom and looks in there. And it was like, holy crap, it's a deer. And like looks at his partner and he's like, really? And then he opens up the door, goes out to the outside where there's two other police officers. And he goes, I can't make this up. There's a deer in here. And they're like, what? So they had you could see him with, like you said, Monty, on the body cam video with the chairs and just trying to herd it out of there. But of course, you're just like, the deer is like, man, I thought I would have got away with it. It wasn't for you meddling kids.
Buddy, just Google videos, the Watertown, South Dakota deer in apartment.
Yeah, you can go to the newspaper in Watertown. It's called the Watertown Public Opinion.
They've got it down
and
there,
and they've got a story on there, and so you can see that body cam footage.
Watch the video with volume. It's even funnier than me just watching it.
The first officer that finds the deer was like, holy cow, there's a deer. And then he tells his fellow officers, like, I'm not making this up. There's a deer in here. They're like, what?
Yeah, you just never know what you're going to encounter as a police officer on a daily basis. 6:36, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network, and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. And Al weighing in, we were talking about Fargo's Harm Reduction Center. Now, in addition to giving out needles, they are giving out glass pipes as well, trying to cut down and prevent diseases. But Al had a good point. Mm-hmm. He goes, now that the city is giving out glass pipes, how can the cops arrest you for drug paraphernalia?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is.
That is an interesting point. It is 6:42. Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports.
You made me aware of this story yesterday afternoon, but, well, actually, I guess that was early on this morning, but officials from Bismarck State College relaunching the football program.
Yeah.
After more than 40 years of a hiatus. It'll be just over. It last played 1985. The Mystics bringing football back, which is interesting because you go to Bismarck State College to go to the bowl in Bismarck to cover football games. Whether it's UMary and the NSIC, it's Bismarck High, Century, Legacy, anybody in that city that plays their high school and collegiately. And it's on the campus of Bismarck State, and they haven't had football in decades.
Which enrollment must have really gone up.
It must be increased if they're able to bring football back, which is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to be a participant in the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. That's the NAIA for short, for those who know the acronym probably a little bit better. They'll be in the Frontier Conference. That includes schools like Dakota State, Montana Tech. But they will officially relaunch the Mystic football program in the 2027 season. So we got two more years almost until that football program back on the field on your Saturday afternoons. But that's tremendous, especially for that central portion of North Dakota, for the city of Bismarck, and just some more competition, more opportunities locally on the gridiron, which is tremendous. Minnesota Timberwolves were in New York battling the Knicks last night. Anthony Edwards is returned to the lineup, and, well, they were up four at the half before being outscored 83-56 in the final 24 minutes. Julius Randle, he had 32 points for the Pack. Dante DiVincenzo, this was his return to the Garden since being traded to Minnesota. He had 21 points. He did not play in the game at the Garden last season for the Wolves, so it was the first time he stepped foot on the court in a road uniform or in an opponent's jersey. And so kind of interesting there, some of the emotions coming back and spending a handful of, you know, half a decade there with the Knicks before being sent shipped over to Minnesota. And the Wolves and the fan base have loved Dante and Julius since they came over. Anthony Edwards had 29 minutes. He had 15 points in that. He looked rusty. You could tell he was a step slow, working back into game shape. He actually, believe it or not, had the worst plus-minus on the entire team last night for Minnesota as Ant-Man sat at minus 25. Nice. So you could just tell the defensive intensity was not there last night for the Wolves.
Hasn't been there yet this season.
No. The Knicks shot 19 of 42 from three, which is 45%. And then the Knicks also had 29 offensive rebounds. Or, excuse me, they had 21 offensive rebounds. 29 defensively, they had 50 rebounds total, but 21 of those rebounds. So 40% of their rebounds came on the offensive end. And that really helped the Knicks swell that lead in the second half. The Wolves just have looked off early on in the season. They fall to 4-4. They'll return home on Friday night to take on the Utah Jazz at 7 o'clock. But Anthony Edwards back now. It's a great opportunity for the Wolves to start playing some of that better basketball we know they're capable of right. coming off of back-to-back Western Conference final appearances. College hoops last night, North Dakota State was tied up with UC Davis at the half. It was 26-all, and we thought, man, is somebody going to make a bucket in the second half? Both teams took offense to that thought I had, and the Aggies actually outscored the Bison 54-42 in the second half. Both teams really kicked it into gear. 80-68 was the final in that one. Tonight, up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, for men's basketball, hosting UC Riverside. This is 7 p.m. tip-off for that ball game. Minnesota High School State Tournament of Volleyball quarterfinals that begins this afternoon. In the AA division, top seed and reigning state champion Holly will take on 8-seeded New London Spicer. 1 p.m. in St. Paul. That's at the formerly known as the XL Energy Center, now Grand Casino Arena. I'm starting to slowly get it down, although yeah. I do not agree with the naming. But I understand naming rights of stadiums, either. Things of those things. That's, you know, that's all I've known my entire life. So the fact that I'm starting to get it down is not too bad for me.
I bet most fans are still calling it the X.
I actually saw in a when they were promoting the Minnesota State volleyball tournament that they actually put in parentheses, formerly known as the XL Energy Center.
Yes, you do just have for to those do that because, for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, yeah, just to make sure everybody was in the right spot
just
here this
like
weekend.
Twitter X, I mean, that's what, for the longest time, nobody would have known what you were talking about if you just said X.
Exactly. You know? I still to this don't understand that renaming either. But regardless, the Wild, they're back on the ice tonight. They're taking on the Hurricanes. They're in Carolina, Raleigh, to be specific on that one. 7 o'clock is the puck drop. Wild are 5-6-3. They're coming off of the most bonkers victory of the season, actually, with how it went final and the net getting knocked off in overtime and the Wild getting that victory over Nashville. So they'll now take on the Hurricanes in Carolina tonight. And this evening here on WDAY Radio, tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. That'll be followed up by Spud Football, the state quarterfinals. They take on Centennial, and they will have a 7 p.m. kickoff. They're at Spring Lake Park. If you're looking to go in person, that's where the game is being held, Spring Lake Park High School, and kickoff at 7 o'clock. WDAY Radio, Larry Knutson on the call, though, for you. It's a work night. It's a school night. You can't make it out there. Well, Larry's got you covered right
Absolutely.
Here.
Tonight.
AM 970,
tonight.
FM 93.1, and 7 p.m., too.
Yes.
You tune in at 6. We appreciate it. You're gonna get local. You're gonna get local news. You're gonna get PTS, and then you'll get Spud kickoff.
There you go.
Yeah,
all right.
So you'll be covered in every facet before the Spuds kickoff if you tune in earlier. But 7 p.m. is the scheduled kickoff for the Spuds here this evening. Sports this hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
It was on the state in entertainment history. This singer started a 5-week run at number one with this big hit. He was multi-talented. He also had a variety show, and he, in fact, gave Muppet creator Jim Henson his first national exposure. You will find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We do that every morning on Bonnie and Friends, right around 6:56. 6:48, we're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1965, this band started a 2-week run at number one with this song. It was their second U.S. number one, and it knocked the Beatles out of the top position. We'll find out what song that was, sung by what group, coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
7:04, checking out your forecast. Still a warm day today, and then things are going to get drastically colder. Mostly cloudy today, breezy, 54 for our high. Southeast winds 10 to 25, overnight low around 33. Cloudy, cold, flurries tomorrow, only 38 for the high temp. North winds 10 to 20, low of 17. Saturday, cold, could see some light snow, 32 for the high. Northwest winds 10 to 20 will drop down to 18 for the overnight low. Definitely we'll see a killing frost, which we really haven't seen, just a light frost here in Fargo, but we will see a killing frost tomorrow night. Sunday, partly sunny, continued cold, high of 32, winds out of the north-northwest 10 to 20, overnight low around 20. Right now in Fargo-Moorhead, it is partly cloudy. We have 41 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the southeast at 16. The weather this hour has been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. 7:05, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports, and then Hunter Chef Jeff Benda joins us. Deer opener this weekend. He'll be serving up a venison recipe. All that and more yet to come right here on Bonnie and Friends. 7:09, Big Game James McCarty is going to get your WDAY Radio Sports in, and then Hunter Chef Jeff Benda joins us. James?
Minnesota Timberwolves were up 4 at the half in New York yesterday night. They were outscored 83-56 in the final 24 minutes. They lose 137-114. I was just looking through the stats, and the Wolves were out-rebounded 50-31. And also on the offensive end, the Knicks out-rebounded the Wolves 21-9. So the Timberwolves struggled to rebound the basketball is the moral of the story from an evening ago. They fall to 4-4 in the season. Anthony Edwards did make his return to the lineup after missing 4 games with that hamstring soreness. He ended up with 15 points over 29 minutes, but he was a team worst minus 25 in the plus minus. Julius Randle paced the pack with 32 points. The Wolves are 4-4 in the season. They return home to the Target Center on Friday night at 7 o'clock to take on the Utah Jazz. College basketball last night saw North Dakota State tied up with UC Davis at 26 apiece at the half before the Aggies had outscored the Bison 54-42 in the second half, taking down NDSU 80-68. Markai Strickland would pace NDSU with 17 points in that ballgame. And in men's college hoops tonight, North Dakota hosting UC Riverside, 7 p.m. is a tip-off for that ballgame. Minnesota High School Volleyball State quarterfinals action this afternoon in the AA division. Reigning state champion and top-seeded Hawley will be battling 8-seeded New London Spicer in St. Paul. 1 p.m. is the first serve of that one here this afternoon. And the Minnesota Wild, they're going to be in Carolina taking on the Hurricanes. 7 o'clock is the puck drop tonight. Minnesota 5-6-3 on the season. As for the Spuds for football, state quarterfinals football action this evening, it'll be at 7 o'clock right here on WDAY Radio. The Spuds will be in Spring Lake Park taking on Centennial. Larry Knutson on the call. We'll have primetime sports at 6:30, leading you right up to the Spuds kickoff around 7 p.m. here tonight. Sports this hour brought to you by Sun Electric. If you have an electrical problem, they have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
We might have a fight to the right of me because James wants in on a venison chili conversation. Lucia's, she's already won that microphone, just pulled it right away from her. You go, girl. Nice work.
Thank you.
Hunter Chef Jeff Benda, his beautiful daughter Lucia, joining us in studio now. And you deliver. James was in my office yesterday, and I said, I better send Jeff a message and see what we're going to talk about, because I forgot what you told me last week. And then James was like, you think maybe he has a venison chili he can serve up since it's deer opener?
And this was great timing, because I told the guys for deer camp I was bringing the venison chili. And so I already had to make it today. And so it was great. I had all the ingredients out there. I'm like, oh, I can actually, which is interesting. I think this is like year 3 that we've been doing this. I don't think I've ever brought you guys food. We just talked about it.
Did
I bring it maybe once? Like some goose pastrami maybe once?
Something you did, yeah.
Yeah. But
this
it's been really good.
It's
been a long time.
Venison.
So, yeah. So this is the easy venison chili that's on the website. I've got two different venison chilies on the website. This is the one that just uses ground venison. Mm-hmm. So this is actually mule deer, North Dakota mule deer. And then I've also got a steak chili. A venison steak chili, where that one is actually, you can use maybe just some trim, you know, from like one of your roasts or something like that. And then it actually has Doritos in the spice mix. So you put it in the food processor with the, so I actually crush up Doritos, nacho cheese Doritos, and put it in with the cumin and the paprika and things
really
like that.
Fancy
and then
like
I put
that,
it in.
Guys. Fancy.
That's not fancy. I'm just impressed. I'm impressed that I came up with that sober.
It was delicious.
It was it. I came up with the idea at noon. It was not a 2 a.m. situation. So, and there's actually a little bit of honey in that one. So that's actually my favorite. I like this one. It's just an easy one. Goes in the slow cooker. That's what I did for this.
Now, do you... Okay, so... I can always tell when it's venison, say when my family makes it because they season the meat before they put it in the freezer. I cannot tell that this is venison.
Like they do season the meat before they put it in the freezer?
Yeah, so you don't.
No.
Because they almost turn it into like sort of like a sausage. And usually my dad will make it into a sausage pad.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, too. I know I just had an elk hunter. I met him out in September on a gravel road out in the Badlands. Mm-hmm. Gave him my card, and I said, if you get an elk before your buddies get out here, you know, give me a call if you need some help. He called me yesterday and said, hey, I got an elk the day before yesterday, and he was asking my advice on processing because he's short of time. But, you know, I think everybody just automatically, as soon as they get their deer and they grind it up, they mix it with pork fat.
Mm-hmm. That's what
and
my
we
mom
don't
and
do
dad
that.
Do.
No, you know, I used to go get pork fat. Like you can get it. By the way, you can get it in NDSU, the meat lab.
Oh,
you can get
point.
Straight pork fat from there. Or, you know, if your local butcher doesn't have it. But we don't, Melissa, it's just like the little white chunks of fat. And then also, I don't know what I'm going to be doing with it.
That's the key, right? Yeah. Like, you can do so many things with it if you don't do that.
Right. So, we do straight ground venison. I grind it up. I'll either do a single grind. You know, you can grind it up once, or you can do it. Melissa likes it. Like, we put it through the grinder twice, once with the coarse ground, and then put it back in the freezer, get it cold again, and then I put it through the fine ground. But, you know, if there's people out there who don't have a grinder, and your spouse,
you're not blendering
if your spouse is like, we have got to get a big meat grinder, and they only get one deer a year, you can absolutely do it in your food processor.
Food processor.
So you bag it up in, so like take in packages of like 2 pounds, like put it in a vacuum seal bag or in a freezer bag. Like, how much are you going to actually use for your next meal?
Right.
And you put that in your freezer bag or your vacuum seal bag is a little better. You know, it's going to last longer. And then you package up the trim. Okay, 2 to 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like 1.5 to 2 pounds. And then when you're ready to eat it, then you take that out. And then you can put it in your food processor. Or if you have a little grinder, like on your stand, like your stand-up mixer.
My folks have one of those.
Yeah. And then you can just freshly grind the meat. So now you have fresh ground burger.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if you want to make a small batch of sausage, you can mix it up. You can just have some burger for hamburgers in the summertime, or you can make this chili. That just gives you a little bit more of a leeway. So, you know, you can go ahead and grind
it
all up.
Everything tastes
the same.
There's no variety.
Oh, the one year I remember I turned an entire deer into bacon burger.
Oh, mistake.
I did not have, that was not a.
Not a good idea.
That was before Lucia was around. Yeah. I'm surprised my early marriage survived that year. It was all bacon burger.
It was
like, are you serious? Like, this
is,
I'm so sick of, you know, burger that tastes like bacon. So I learned, and that way, Melissa, so if I'm out of town or she wants to make something or if Lucia wants to make something, she can pull it out and it's just like a ground beef recipe. You can use ground venison for anything. And if you have a favorite ground beef recipe, if you want to make spaghetti, if you want to make tacos, it's not seasoned. It's just straight.
Right. It's just plain.
Yeah. And if you need fat, people are like, well, it's so lean. Great. Add a little bit of oil, or you can even put butter in the microwave for 5 to 10 seconds, melt it and mix it in with your meat.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And then you've added fat.
Yeah.
You do not need to add pork fat.
That's what so many times you've done, and it might be pork fat, it might be just straight up bacon and grind it together for your ground meat, right? So when it comes to, like, normally we have those fat percentages when it comes to ground beef. You're 95.5, 90.10, 85.15, et cetera. If you were to kind of ballpark it when you have this ground venison, is it like a 95.5 kind of, you know, meat to fat ratio? I mean,
if you're taking the silver skin off, and depending on the cut, it could literally, you're talking
100%.
Yeah. I mean, like you're in the high 90s. Yes. Yeah. Very high 90s. Here's the thing too. Remember, venison is lean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's not a lot of fat, which means if you overcook it, it's going to dry out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the internal temperature if you're talking for food safety for venison, it's very low. You can do lean, like if you do a steak, like a medium rare steak. You can cook it. I'll pull it like at 125, 130 degrees and let it rest. With ground venison, if it's 100% venison and you haven't mixed it with pork, you can just brown it
and you're good
very
to go.
Quickly. And like it only has to reach that 125, 30, okay, and you're still safe versus you mix it with pork and now you got to cook it to 106, especially ground pork. Now you have to cook it to 160 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're drying it, you know, you added fat to it, but now you have to cook it. Yeah, you have to cook it longer.
So you do like the steak. What do they call it? Blue, when it's basically like really.
That's too raw. No,
that's too raw for deer. Don't eat it.
No. If it's still if it's still kicking, I need to. Yeah. It's got to be dead.
So with
but I do like medium rare. I like pulling it at. I like pulling it at like at 125 to 130 degrees. My steak, letting it sit for 10 minutes. Because then it's going to naturally increase the heat. It's going to rise another 5 degrees, sometimes even a little bit more. But at least another 5 degrees, you just let it sit there, and then I slice it.
Is it best to use venison in recipes like chili or spaghetti sauce or something? Because that way, since it's in, you know, it's in the sauce, it's in the chili, the liquid there, is it really good to use for stuff like that? Because then it's not going to dry out because you're going to have it in that soup or in that sauce.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, I mean, but you can just do it tacos too. I mean, Lucia likes it. If we wanted to eat tacos 4 days a week, we would do that. Mom isn't a fan. Look at her licking her lips over there. She's like, Lucia and I could eat tacos and burgers all the time.
Yeah,
right. Melissa's not. You know, she doesn't. She's like, okay, we're not eating tacos again.
Yeah,
this week.
Exactly.
Right.
Best put her foot down.
Yeah, but I mean, in that situation, now you just have ground venison. Again, you can just put it in the pan with a little bit of oil.
Yep.
Maybe even just put a little melted, like just add a little butter in there too, so it doesn't dry out.
Mm-hmm.
With your taco seasoning, and it's perfect. It's great.
I think this is the first time I've eaten ground venison, and my dad and brother are big hunters. Brother-in-law, huge hunters. They always season it, so I've never really liked ground venison.
Yeah.
Now, I'm having it in the chili that you made, and it's like you can't even tell the difference hardly between ground beef and this ground venison.
There's not really at all, no. Yeah.
Except it's leaner.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
James, this was his idea. He wanted the recipe, so thank you, and I know we can find it at wildgameandfish.com. James, also Jeff has on there a queso, venison queso dip on there. Easy venison enchiladas with poblano sauce. I'm just impressed.
Those are some ideas when you hopefully get a deer this year or a family member does.
And James, close your eyes.
James is not going to try to get that microphone back
now,
from Lucia. He already lost that fight.
Now, I didn't want to name it, but like it is a healthy queso dip.
Is it?
No.
Oh.
He's got to use air quotes for
man,
that.
Man, it's fun. Yeah. Just close your eyes and pretend it's healthy. But that's a great one, too, for game day. There's lots of fun ones. So actually, on ground venison recipes, actually, right now, if you Google ground venison recipes, I think depending on who your search is, that I've been popping up as the number one spot. And there are tons of recipes. So you'll find that this venison chili, you'll find whether it's the queso dip, there's spaghetti, there's venison sliders. That's a great one. That's one of Lucia's absolute favorites, and that's actually her picture. Those are her hands in that picture. So if you Google venison sliders, that's a big favorite. Super easy to make. There's all kinds of great ideas, and again, you're using that straight ground venison. I wouldn't season it. I mean, you can do what you want, but like if you're making taco meat in advance, that's great. If you know you're going to eat a lot of taco meat and you want to season it before you freeze it.
No, I like the
way
you do it.
But if somebody's like, no, I want to, you know, that way I can just thaw it out and it's ready to go. But man, I like my flexibility.
Yep.
And because you never know what you're going to want.
Well, and that, you know, normally when you buy meat at the grocery store or whatever, it technically comes unseasoned. You buy chicken breast, you buy ground beef. It's not seasoned.
Right.
You know, so that way you can make whatever you want with it.
And it's also, you're tired after deer opener. Like,
oh, I bet.
If after a weekend of deer hunting, that's exhausting. You're walking around, or I mean, some people, if you're in Minnesota,
or some just sleep in the deer stand.
Yeah, I mean, if you're James, you just get to lay around in a deer stand all day. But we are going to be walking around pushing sloughs and tree lines and farmsteads. Yeah. But again, you know, it's just easier too if you can just grind up that meat and not have to be mixing and like mixing the meat and pulling out. That's just more things. Just get it in the grinder and package it up, and then that gives you more flexibility later.
How did you come up, though, when you talked about your other chili recipe? What made you think to let's take some Doritos and grind them up and use that as a seasoning? I mean, did you just have a Doritos
have you ever had like crumbled up the Dorito, like you've crumbled up the Doritos and put it on top of your chili? Mm-hmm.
You use the Doritos for the walking tacos, etc.
Yeah,
so.
But like, I don't know, like why not put it in at the beginning and at the end?
There you go.
Right?
I like it.
Because I'm only allowed to buy Doritos like maybe once a year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not allowed to have that chips in the house. That's not a healthy thing for a man my age. So we try not to do that. But man, when they're in there, I'm going to use it in every single way I can.
You never cease to amaze me. Wildgameandfish.com, and you can search up any recipes for any kind of a wild game or, you know, fowl or whatever. But Zuppa Toscano soup you are using with homemade venison. You've got like hamburger gravy, but it's ground deer meat and gravy over mashed potatoes.
Oh, that deer steak and gravy. That's one of the most popular recipes right now.
Well, I have been eating it the same way every single time for the last 50 years.
There's lots of fun things on there. And actually, you know, next Tuesday, so if you sign up, if you go to wildgameandfish.com, you can sign up for the weekly email. So I send out a new recipe every Tuesday morning. With that, you're also entered to win an Outdoor Edge knife, which I'm partners with, and we give away a knife every month. But next Tuesday, the recipe, if you sign up this week, next Tuesday, the recipe is going to be a smoked venison backstrap.
Ooh, fancy.
And it's done in 45 minutes, and it is phenomenal.
Okay, and I've just been complimenting you and how amazing you are, and then I'm scrolling down on wildgameandfish.com. No, Jeff, I'm sorry. The best smoked deer hoof broth.
Listen.
You're using the, what do you call them, trotters?
I did it once. The trotters. Listen, I did it once just so I could say I did it.
No.
Bonnie, let me tell you.
I think he told us that last year,
the
year before.
It is the pain in the tuchus.
Oh,
because to clean those out, it is the longest process. Listen, it's on the website.
Oh, you.
I'm just going to tell everybody, if you want to try it and try it once, do it. But those are the biggest pain. It's like sometimes I have recipes on there and it's like, okay, I can say I did it once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will never do that again.
Sometimes I have an idea. Is it a great idea? Yeah. Not always, it sounds like.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Stick with the easy stuff. There's plenty of family-friendly, easy stuff that's on the website for everybody to try out.
Yeah. Just don't be doing the same old, same old. In your recipes, you make them simple, too, most of them.
Absolutely. And the cookbook coming out, I got hired my editor.
There you go.
Picking out a publisher next week.
My phone
I'm pretty excited.
Ring.
So we're shooting for September. We're shooting for September 1st next year.
And awesome.
Every recipe in the cookbook, every single one will be, it's either going to be start to finish. It's a 30-minute meal. You can start or you put it in the slow cooker. And then it's done within 30 minutes by the time you get home.
Well, we're all busy, right?
Yeah.
Most people working, getting the kids at daycare, to do activities.
And every ingredient, it has to be found at a local Walmart or grocery store in North Dakota.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
If it's not, it's not going to be in the cookbook.
He's fancy, but he's not fancy.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a...
Yeah, that's right.
I like that. So you're going out western North Dakota hunting? Or where are you?
I am. We're
hunting?
Going to a different unit. This is a farmstead by Hebron, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I pheasant hunted there, and there's so many pheasants.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm praying, if I stick to my tradition of eating what I only eat. I know a lot of people have deer camp traditions or traditions of maybe somebody wears the same socks, right? Like, they always wear that sock. They always wear this shirt, right? I eat liverwurst and onion sandwiches with spicy mustard on plain white hamburger buns, because this is what I was fed over 20 years ago at Deer Opener.
Oh,
my friend's mom.
I'd eat that.
And I eat them. I ate so many. And so that was kind of the funny thing, because that's all I would eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then every single time, the deer would always get up next to me. And the joke was, because I smelled so bad. I had liverwurst and onions like coming out of my pores.
Exactly.
That the deer couldn't stand it anymore and had to get up and run.
There you go.
So I have literally, if I stick to that, I have gotten my deer on deer opener. Like,
it's tradition.
Sometimes within the first 5 minutes.
Why would you like, change?
Oh, the 1 year.
Now we know.
1 year I went rogue. It took me 9 days.
Well,
see?
I will not have pancakes and bacon. I will eat. That's the literally for breakfast and lunch because we don't start till noon.
Yeah.
On Friday, unless you're Minnesota Saturday
right,
morning,
right.
But here in North Dakota, it's Friday at noon Central. Mm-hmm. And I will not eat anything. Coffee, Goldfish crackers, and look at Lucia. She's like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, he's
don't eat my Goldfish crackers.
I will be packing some, okay? I'll leave you the bacon.
Save you some.
Yeah. But no, and that was kind of something that actually started with Lucia, the Goldfish crackers, mm-hmm. when we were out hunting together. So I always get a bag. But it's just a guy's trip this weekend. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. It's going to be nice and relaxing.
Well, at least we know.
I've got any antlerless, so I've got the doe tag.
Yeah.
And the other guys have buck tags, so I'm pretty excited. Any doe that runs out in front of me, I get to shoot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now we know what James has to eat so he can finally catch more deer
Maybe,
more frequently.
Yeah, liverwurst, onion, and mustard sandwiches.
Yeah, listen, that's luck for me. I think James needs to just sit and eat that, but just be wary.
I'm sure that you're...
Make sure he has a day off in between before he starts coming in and, you know, have him take 3 showers.
I was going to say, don't have him do it when we had a big road trip to Mankato or something.
Oh, that would be the worst.
Oh, yeah. No, it is not in the vehicle friendly. I learned that very quickly with a buddy last year. He remembers those sandwiches very well. Usually I eat by myself. So when I'm hunting solo. So literally I will not break them out until we were outside of the vehicle.
There you go.
And then that's when you eat them.
There you go. Lesson learned. Well, good luck to you. Be safe. And thanks for your time.
Yeah,
we appreciate
everybody too.
It.
Yeah, thanks.
You bet. Hunter Chef Jeff Benda joins us Thursday at 7:10, serving up all kinds of recipes. Go to wildgameandfish.com for more details on his recipes. We're going to be heading into the WDAY Radio News Center shortly. 7:35, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on our forecast. Northern Lights, I guess, were out last night.
Oh, they were dancing last night. It was about, I think, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Did you
it was
see
early.
Them?
I did not, no.
I saw.
I was preoccupied.
A picture from International Falls, Minnesota, and they were green and they were circular.
Yeah,
and it's just one of the most beautiful
absolutely
pictures I've
beautiful.
Seen.
Yeah, it was. We're in kind of a peak right now. Tonight it won't matter. It'll be cloudy, so we're not going to be able to see them tonight. But last night, hopefully, got out to enjoy them. They'll be back. They'll be back. But last night was beautiful. If you have any pictures, send them to us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to see those. We could put them up on our webpage, weather@flagfamily.com. Send those to me. We'll post those. But today, it's a pretty mild start to the day for this time of the year. This is about where we should be for afternoon highs here. We're at 41. Moorhead, you're at 40. DL's at 36. Grand Forks, a little cooler at 34. Wahpeton's at 40. Jamestown's at 38. We'll make it up to about 54 today with partly to mostly cloudy skies. Southeast winds about 10 to 25, so a little breezy out there. And then tonight, we'll see a cold front coming through as we head after midnight. That will trigger off a few isolated rain showers. Might mix in a snowflake or two, with lows near freezing as winds turn to the west-northwest, and then a breezy cooler day on Friday with highs only in the mid to upper 30s. So then we set the stage for the weekend, and a clipper system we've been talking about will dive out to our west on Saturday morning. That will give us colder weather, windy conditions on Saturday out of the north, and yes, a few snow showers generally in the morning hours on Saturday, but we'll have pretty strong north winds at about 15 to 30. Highs only around freezing on Saturday and Sunday. Still breezy on Sunday, but more sunshine. And then we'll start our warm-up next week. Low 40s on Monday. We're near 50 by Tuesday. And by the end of next week, we'll be in the mid-50s.
Okay.
All right.
Mm.
Yeah, it's this has been one heck of a stretch. And it'll be interesting to see how this fans out into winter. Because I'll tell you what, when we get the cold shots, they're going to be pretty significant. But when we warm up over the winter months, it's going to be sharp warm-ups. Again, it's going to be one of those roller coaster winters, it looks like, up and down, not stuck in one pattern for a very cold pattern for too long before we start to warm things up again. So cool. All in all, not a bad-looking forecast. We need a little more moisture, though, but not a lot on the horizon.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. Time now is 7:37. We got to check on your national news from ABC, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. Then Dean will return
for your 3-degree guarantee.
7:41, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
We've decided we're going Food Network and sports this hour. It's the decision we made, Jeff Benda, on what, Wild Game and
Fish.com. I sent you his venison chili recipe to your email.
Yeah, the broth that he uses in there, just everything
either
about
deer
that was
or bone
tremendous.
Broth, reading it.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Evidently, it does help if you understand what you're doing to help make it taste really, really tasty, which is awesome.
You'll have to try that deer queso that he's got on.
I think we can make that happen.
I'm not saying it's a requirement, but if you get deer this year and you don't come to the office with said deer queso, I'm going to
be
extremely disappointed.
Yeah,
we will
be.
No, we could. You know what? As long as I'm awake and I get a clean shot off, I think we can make that happen.
Well, good luck
this year. I'm just
clean shot. Yes, awake. That's debatable.
Hey, I was just happy that. It all lined up when I just was kind of shooting it with Bonnie yesterday. And I was like, man, I thought I got a couple of pounds left. And I was like, it'd be nice to make some chili since it's cooling off. And
yeah.
Benda was 3 days ahead of us. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was great there. Mm-hmm. But on the hardwood last night, Minnesota Timberwolves were up 4 at the half in the Big Apple. They would be outscored 83-56 in the final 24 minutes, falling to the Knickerbockers of New York, 137-114. Anthony Edwards did return to the lineup in this game and originally anticipated he was going to miss at least 2 weeks, only ended up missing 4 of what we thought was going to be 8 games. He had 29 minutes, 15 points, but he was a team worst, minus 25 in the plus minus. You could tell he's a step slow, was working back into it, knocking off some rust, all those different things. And after not playing ball for 10 days, it really does take a game or two to get back into that game shape. Julius Randle did pace away with 32 points. The Pack 4-4 on the season. They return home to the Target Center Friday night at 7 o'clock. They'll host the Utah Jazz. College hoops last night in men's basketball, North Dakota State. They were tied up with UC Davis, 26 apiece at the half. I was thinking to myself in my head, wow, maybe we should make some shots. Evidently, both teams took offense to that, and it was a 54-42 second half score. The final is 80-68. The Bison did fall in that one, but much better offensive output outpouring by both squads in the second half. Tonight in men's basketball, North Dakota up in Grand Forks hosting UC Riverside. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off for that ball game. Minnesota High School State Volleyball quarterfinals this afternoon in the AA division. Locally, we have one team remaining. That's the top seed, Holly. They're the reigning state champs as well. They will be battling 8 seed New London Spicer. That's a 1 p.m. first serve here this afternoon. That's over in St. Paul at Grand Casino Arena. Minnesota Wild, because the arena is unavailable because the high school state volleyball championship tournament, they're in Carolina battling the Hurricanes. They begin a road trip for the weekend. They're going to have puck drop tonight at 7 o'clock. The Wild are 5-6-3 on the season. We'll see how it shakes out for them on the road. It's a tough, tough Carolina squad that they're battling here tonight. This evening on WDAY Radio at 6:30, we're going to have primetime sports, 7 o'clock Spud football in the state quarterfinals. They will be battling Centennial at Spring Lake Park, 7 p.m. kickoff. Larry Knutson on the call for that one. And we're looking forward to some tremendous, tremendous high school football. The Spuds have already pulled off 2 upsets. Why not pull off a third and punch your ticket to the state semifinals in a week from now? Sports this hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
7:45, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 7:47, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
All right, going back to yesterday, forecast at 49, and we hit 48
yesterday. It was beautiful.
It was nice. There wasn't a lot of wind.
That sun, gorgeous.
Yeah, it did. It did feel good. Today we're going to go 54 mild degrees. We might have trouble getting there with the cloud cover, so I might end up blowing this. We might only make it to 50-51, but I don't think anybody's going to complain if we only make it to 50-51. But we're going to go 54. Southeast winds about 10 to 25, and then cold front swings through late tonight after midnight. That'll trigger off an isolated rain or snow shower as winds turn to the west-northwest. We'll drop down to freezing, and then much cooler tomorrow, 37 tomorrow, and then a little snow shower activity Friday night into Saturday morning, but that's not going to be a big deal either. So let's enjoy today's mild 54 degrees. It won't be the last. I see 50s returning later next week.
Grab a jacket for the next 3 days.
Oh, you're going to need it. Yeah,
yeah, heavier one too.
Mother Nature has given us a little slap in the face saying you haven't been behaving yourself lately. And we're going to pay for it this weekend.
You keep getting on the bad side of the ladies and getting Mother Nature. Way to go.
Hey, this is good news for deer hunters. You don't want to be out deer hunting in 50-degree weather.
This is good weather, right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
See, I didn't know about mics. Way to pay attention in class. Yeah. It is now, buddy.
Yeah. Multifaceted.
He was afraid to grab his mic when Lucia was over there. She just pulled it away from him.
She's taking charge.
Yeah, you don't mess with Lucia.
You'd be afraid too if you were in here, man.
She's watching me, man.
She's stern.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
And your 3 degree three degree guarantee once again, 54 degrees, and that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
7:49. You probably have a better password than they did at the Louvre.
The Louvre.
Unbelievable.
Password 123.
It was about that simple.
456. What kind of idiot has that for a password? Change the password on my luggage.
We'll talk about it next. So we had this big heist at the Louvre.
The Louvre.
About a week and a half ago, October 19th, something like that.
Yeah.
$100 million in jewels stolen.
Gone.
They've made some arrests in the case, still looking for some
other
suspects.
They're still trying to find the artifacts.
Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a password, their surveillance system, video surveillance system. It was password protected.
Uh-huh. What was the password, Bonnie?
Louvre.
I like to have my password set to incorrect. That way when I enter the wrong one, it'll tell me what my password is. The password is incorrect. Oh, that's right. Incorrect.
Well, that'd be better than actually using the name of the place or your own name. That had been pointed out during like a security overview back in 2018 that, you know, you should tighten this and you should tighten that.
You should use one uppercase, one lowercase, a number, a special
symbol.
Character. Mm-hmm. Use a strong password. But instead, we'll just use the Louvre for the Louvre password.
How
dumb. No one will ever figure it out.
Can you believe that?
People are not good with passwords and things like that.
Well,
I mean,
if you're
just
that
not.
Dumb, you shouldn't be the person in charge of making up passwords. My goodness.
I am in charge of security here. I will set the password as I see fit, Bonnie. What is it? Louvre, because I don't want to forget that I'm working at the Louvre.
It's almost like a Paul Blart Mall Cop type situation there. Boy. 7:53, you've spent too long hiding your smile, avoiding photos, avoiding laughter, maybe even avoiding life. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, that changes in just one day.
Their same-day smile transformations help you walk in with hesitation and walk out with confidence. With gentle sedation, a compassionate team, and flexible financing, they remove every barrier between you and the smile you deserve. Call Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit DakotaImplant.com. Don't wait to smile like you mean it.
There's a coffee company that has a really big day that customers look forward to each and every year, and union workers are planning to strike on that day this year. Talk about it in your Money and Markets coming up next. 7:57, checking out your Money and Markets. Opening bell rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed higher yesterday. Comes as the Supreme Court took up the legality of President Trump's tariffs, hearing arguments on Wednesday in the fast-track case. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 225 points, S&P 500 jumped 24, and the NASDAQ gaining 151 points.
Federal officials are announcing a cutback in the number of flights in U.S. airspace starting Friday morning. It's a result of staffing shortages during the federal government shutdown. FAA Administrator Brian Bedford announced Wednesday the agency will reduce air traffic by 10% at 40 high-volume airports if there's no deal to end the shutdown. Bedford said the reduction would help take the pressure off air traffic controllers who've been working without pay during what is now the longest government shutdown in U.S. history.
And like you said, high volume. So the busiest airports in the country, we heard a number of them being listed there on ABC News, and word that Minneapolis-St. Paul also on that list. A new ADP report is providing some hope that the labor market isn't in danger of sinking. The report found private companies added 42,000 jobs in October, following a decline of 29,000 in September, and topping the Dow Jones consensus estimate for a gain of 22,000. According to the report, all of the job creation came from companies employing at least 250 workers, with that category adding 76,000 jobs. ADP's monthly report is typically overshadowed by the official non-farm payrolls report. However, the data won't be released because of the government shutdown.
Unionized Starbucks baristas are planning what they hope will be, quote, the biggest strike ever, end quote, next week. Excuse me. The planned strike on November 13th coincides with the company's popular Red Cup Day.
They're sending a big message to do it on that day.
The union representing around 550 stores accused Starbucks of refusing to fairly negotiate and have rejected the company's previous proposal. Starbucks claims it already offers competitive pay and benefits and is ready to negotiate if the union returns to the table.
And McDonald's is seeing a boost in sales after bringing back some of their fan favorites. Same store sales reportedly increased by 3.6% from July to September after the snack wrap officially returned to menus. Sales slightly outperformed the 3.5% forecast. The company Placer.ai also reported that traffic to McDonald's was 15% higher than average on the day that the snack wraps officially returned. James is super excited.
Yeah.
Snack wrap was first introduced in 2004, discontinued until 2016. So, yeah, some of that nostalgia, some of that stuff that we love that disappeared, we want again.
You figured they wouldn't get rid of it. I mean, look at the reign that it had. 2004 to 2016, 12 years of having snack wraps, and I guess I didn't go to McDonald's enough to even really realize it was gone. But, I mean, you thought once you made it, you were taking one of your little chicken strips or piece of chicken that you had already, throwing it on a tortilla that you have left over from the breakfast burritos. Boom, you got another item on your menu. It seems like you're using what you currently have to expand the menu and also get more sales because you have extra items. I mean, everybody that goes to a fast food place, what do we really want? We want a big, nice menu of variety so you can get different things. And it seems like if you can take different ingredients you already have in the store, rearrange them, and make it something else, it seems like a no-brainer to continue selling it. But they took it away. So
I have a feeling they'll leave it this time.
I think they'll leave it for a while, yes.
People have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
It is 8 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 804, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with our forecast. A so-so day today before it gets much colder.
Temperature-wise, it's going to be nice, but not as much sunshine as we had yesterday. Yeah. We'll see some more cloud cover today than we did yesterday. So currently temperatures, depending where you're at, the cool spot, Grand Forks, 34. We're the warm spot at 41, and we're looking at temperatures today, low to mid-50s, anywhere between about 50 and 54. I'm going 54, trying to be optimistic, partly to mostly cloudy skies, more clouds today than sun, that's for sure, with southeast winds about 10 to 25. Then tonight, a cool front will be swinging through after midnight. That will trigger off a few light rain or snow showers towards sunrise, with lows in the low 30s and winds out of the west-northwest, and then those west-northwest winds or northwest winds pick up tomorrow with highs only in the upper 30s. And then a clipper system drags colder weather down for for Saturday and for the deer opener in Minnesota on Saturday. Deer opener is in North Dakota tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So breezy and cooler and then even colder for the deer opener on Saturday in Minnesota with strong north winds at 15 to 30 and gusty. And a few snow showers dancing through the air. As well, not a lot, and it's not going to accumulate. So sorry, you won't be able to track your deer from the snow, that's for sure. But it will feel colder with highs over the weekend, only right around the freezing mark. So a cold weekend. Make sure to dig out those sweaters if you haven't dug them out yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need them.
Dean's weather this hour brought to you by Ace Out Golf Simulators. You can get your very own golf simulator installed in your house, your workplace, your man cave. It's a show-stopping amenity. It's a smart upgrade. It adds value and year-round excitement. It's easy to install and maintain with local support from owner Austin. Also, you can rent them out. Holiday season is near. Where are you going to hold your holiday party? Well, you can rent out their space at Ace Out Golf Simulators or have one of them brought to your location. Great for work parties, also groom's dinners, post-proms, corporate events. It's a fun way to create a friendly competition. And again, Austin and his team will handle delivery, setup, and takedown. Why go to the course when Ace Out can bring the course to you? You can golf any course in the world. Ace Out Golf Simulators. Improve your game. Improve your life. We're going to talk recycling. Mary Aldrich, Mincota Recycling, and Jen Pickett from the city of Fargo will be joining us coming up, about 5 minutes from now. It is 8:06. First of all, we're going to get your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. Coming up Saturday, November 15th at the Fargo Holiday Inn, an opportunity to spend the evening with Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends, plus comedian, former New York City cab driver Jimmy Failla, America's Funniest Patriot, will also be there.
You can visit freedommattersusa.com or eventbrite.com right now to get some tickets. VIP tickets are going fast. Veterans and student tickets are also super affordable. All proceeds help grow Turning Point USA chapters. And that's freedommattersusa.com or eventbrite.com.
All right, we're going to talk recycling in a couple of minutes here. But first of all, a check on your WDAY radio sports with big game James McCarty.
Minnesota Timberwolves last night up 4 at the half, outscored by 27 in the second half. They lose to the Knicks in New York, 137-114. Anthony Edwards made his return to the lineup after four games missed with that hamstring soreness. He had 15 points over 29 minutes, but did have a team worst minus 25 in the plus-minus rating. A couple of former Knickerbockers and Julius Randle had 32 points, and Dante DiVincenzo with 21 for the Pack. The Wolves falling to 4-4 on the season. They will host the Utah Jazz on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Men's college basketball last night saw North Dakota State outscored 54-42 in the second half en route to falling to UC Davis 80-68 last night. This evening in men's college hoops, North Dakota hosting UC Riverside. 7 o'clock will be the tip-off for that one. Minnesota High School State Volleyball quarterfinals action this afternoon. Top-seeded and reigning state champion Holly will battle in the 2A division. Number 8-seeded New London Spicer, 1 p.m. will be the first serve of that match in St. Paul this afternoon. Minnesota Wild on the road out east in Carolina taking on the Hurricanes. Puck will drop at 6 o'clock. Coverage available for that one. FanDuel Sports Network North. The Wild are 5-6-3 on the season. Tonight, primetime sports at 6:30, followed up by Spud Playoff Football. The state quarterfinals against Centennial at Spring Lake Park. 7 p.m. kickoff. Larry Knutson on the call for that one. I've got some family listening. I may have some family that go to Centennial. They think they can stop Feeney's air raid. We'll see about that evening at 7 o'clock.
Family.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Quotations on that one. They don't know what's about to hit them with that air raid.
Siblings.
Yeah, they seem to think that their pass defense is going to hold up. I think Coach Feeney has different plans on that one.
We'll see.
If you're looking for a little bit more info on that Spud game and previewing it, well, listen to our Third Drop Coffee Coach's Corner podcast. Terry Horan, head coach of the Cobber football team, but also Spud football head coach Kevin Feeney, join our very own Greg Bird. They previewed this week's matchups, including tonight's game, of course, against Centennial for the Spuds. That podcast up on our website, wdayradionow.com. Underneath the podcast tab for you. Sponsors are Third Drop Coffee and Moorhead, Brady Service Center, and Cameron Foss Concrete. So if you're looking for something while you're traveling down, waiting for the game to kick off, Coach's Corner Podcast is a great way to fill out 30 minutes before kickoff tonight.
8:13, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We welcome a couple more friends to the studios. Mary Aldrich, Mincota Recycling. Jen Pickett, City of Fargo Recycling, also joining us in studio. Good morning to the two of you ladies.
Good morning.
It almost seems like you two should have an office in here. You're on the coffee club all the time. Now you're back with us here on Bonnie and Friends.
Yeah, thank you.
Fun and a little crazy, too, right?
That's okay.
How long, Mary, I'm going to pick your mind here. You should know this. How long has recycling been a thing in this country, and maybe not just in this country, but here in North Dakota or our region, Minnesota?
Well, the effort really, it did, actually. Earth Day 1970 was the first effort to put forth a opportunity for people to recycle and get educated on the benefits of that in communities. In Mincota Recycling, we've been recycling for 50 years here in the metro area.
Wow.
Yeah, 1975, Beverage Wholesalers was required to have a reclamation program for Olympic beer. So they had to start up a buyback center, which they started on First Avenue, and then that expanded into multiple materials in 1989. And here we are today, still pushing forth the recycling efforts and encouraging people to recycle aluminum beverage cans along with all the other household materials.
When it comes to recycling, then, obviously Earth Day, you said, was 1970. Was it really not that big of a thing? Because it sort of seems like, well, I was like getting out of high school into college or something. It seemed like it was something like either in the late 80s or early 90s when it really kind of became a big thing, a big kind of, it would be a big news story, like today's Earth Day, et cetera, et cetera. So was it kind of in the background for the first 20, 25 years?
Yeah, it really was. It was more of an effort on, environmental issue, the EPA, all that talk. Now, as you mentioned, in the 80s and the 90s, it became more grassroots in your own neighborhood. Opportunities were popping up. Community recycling programs had drop sites, had started curbside recycling and those things, and that really drove the effort. And it's very successful in this community.
I remember, say, like the early 90s where you could go to different grocery stores, and I want to say the old Sun Mart in Moorhead was one of them, and there'd be like a recycling truck that would be set up at the time, and you could bring your aluminum cans in.
You have such a good memory. Right? We did. We used to set up regional locations. Mm-hmm. We'd go into a community and set up our trucks and buy back aluminum beverage cans for our efforts, as well as maybe a specific effort in a community. They had a fundraiser of some sort. Yeah. But yeah, we used to do that. Now we're not taking it on the road. We're finding that curbside recycling is really providing that opportunity to get that aluminum can collected.
Well, I think even in the, like in the early 2000s, I was out in California, and that was still at that big high point where people were taking their aluminum cans and recycling because they were getting such a good price per pound.
Yes.
And it was simple. All you got to do is have enough room in your garage, store your aluminum cans, crush them, whatever. And then once a month, once every 2-3 months, whatever the case was, you take them in and get a nice little chunk of change, go out to lunch with the family or whatever it was. So, I mean, it's kind of progressed even beyond that these days.
Yeah, it really has. It is something that everybody should be thinking about before they throw that in the trash. Mm-hmm. They should be thinking about recycling it. It is the most recycled container that we have available today, and it gets recycled over and over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the value is tremendous to the community, to the nonprofit organizations in the community, and that's why we're here today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Jen, if we didn't recycle, say throwing all of our glass and plastics and cans, what would happen to the landfill?
It would fill up a little bit quicker.
A lot of it quicker, probably. What in the city of Fargo, how good is recycling? Like, what percentage of people are actually recycling in the city? Do you know?
Our residential participation rate is between 85 and 90.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really good.
When it comes to recycling for the city, you know, I know I'm over in West Fargo. Obviously, Fargo does, Moorhead, et cetera. You've got the curbside recycling. And you can just put everything in that bin. Are people doing it correctly enough so that you're getting the most out of that curbside recycling, or is there still some improvements by community members to do a better job of either sorting, rinsing, whatever we have to do to make it more efficient?
There's always room for improvement and education. Right now we're seeing yard waste being put into the bins and leaves and branches and things like that. So there's opportunity to
educate. And that slows you down when it gets brought in for recycling. It slows down crews because you have to go through that.
Curbside material, we do the collection. We bring it to Mary at Minn Kota where it gets baled and shipped off. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants leaves, grass clippings, smashed pumpkins, twigs. In the recycling.
No.
There's a potential that would end up in the garbage because it is now contaminated there's no way to collect grass clippings.
No.
When the recycling goes down.
If you've got a machine that can sort out grass clippings when you're recycling, that'd be pretty impressive.
Right. We're in the wrong business.
I know. We just had a load of corrugated cardboard that came in, unfortunately, with that type of material. So people just really have to think about you're contaminating that whole entire container.
I do have a question, too, about the cardboard. Say, because I order a lot of stuff, as do a lot of
yes,
people.
You're not alone.
We're finding that.
Sometimes when you get those boxes from Amazon or wherever, sometimes they get a little crazy with the packing tape. And are you supposed to pull all that packing tape off before you put it in the recyclables, or you don't have to, or what's the situation with that?
No, you don't really need to remove any tape from your corrugated cardboard boxes. Slip the boxes and put them in your bin. Just make sure you're keeping the plastics that maybe the product contained and bubble wrap and items like that out of the corrugated cardboard. Number one problem they're having at the paper mills today is when they're shipping that material in and they're pulping it down, there's a lot of plastic. Yeah. It just ends up in the bin because it's hard to capture. You know, we got it in our oceans and we got it in every bit of material that we handle today. It's just impossible, it seems like. But every little effort makes a big difference. Take that back to the take back programs at the grocery stores, because that most of that plastic is recyclable. Right. Bubble wrap, number
the
four,
plastic,
okay, plastic bags, plastic items
bags.
Like that.
Too.
Absolutely. We want them out of the waste stream.
When it comes to those boxes, especially from a place like Amazon, I know Walmart, since we get stuff delivered to our house from them as well, are those companies doing a better job with that packing tape that they're using? Because it seems like it's a very paper-based type of packing material to seal the boxes, because that way obviously you can just pulp that whole box down, including the shipping tape or whatever you want to call
it. You really can't pulp that shipping tape. Okay. It's just a matter of an item that really floats to the top when people are capturing and pulping material. The tapes and items like that, they're not doing a better job.
Oh, okay.
Amazon is actually looking at the cheapest way to ship material. So they're doing a lot of packaging today that's got a plastic interior and then a craft paper on the exterior.
Yeah, that's
and that's just not acceptable. Yeah. We can't pulp that. We can't recycle it. So keep it out of the bin, put it in the trash, and send a message to them maybe that you'd like to see them using environmentally friendly containers, since they are driving the market these days. 40% of the corrugated is ending up in your single stream recycling. That never used to happen. It was like 10-15% of the cardboard content. Now it is just about 40%. It's a higher amount that's ending up in that single stream recycling. We're seeing a change. Retail isn't getting the cardboard to us like they did historically. It's coming through your households.
Interesting. Yep. Jen, give us details. I know this is going on again where we can help provide milk for kids in Fargo Public Schools. What's that all about?
We can. During the month of November, Minn Kota Recycling has graciously partnered with the city of Fargo again for maybe about the 20th plus or minus year. We're doing a promotion called Cans for Cartons. So we work with the Fargo Public School Foundation, which is basically a separate entity but within the school. And they work to provide milk and snack for children in the Fargo Public Schools that need that. So during the month of November, all of the aluminum cans that we collect at all of our recycling drop sites, at Minn Kota Redemption Centers in the Detroit Lakes, Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead areas. So all those cans totaled up for the month of November, Minn Kota is doing a 1 cent match per pound of aluminum. Mm-hmm. We will then donate those funds on Giving Hearts Day.
What did you remember, like what you raised last year or previous years?
Last year, $1,000 was donated, so that became $2,000, which in turn bought 4,445 cartons of milk.
They've got the stats. That's what I love about you ladies. Nice work. And then also, there's also something going on for the food pantry, too, some type of match?
Yeah, actually, if you bring in a non-perishable item to our redemption center, you're going to get an additional 5 cents per pound for your aluminum beverage cans. It's currently 45 cents a pound. So if you bring in that non-perishable item that can be donated to the food pantry, you'll get 50 cents a pound. That is all part of trying to encourage people to get out and recycle your aluminum beverage cans in the month of November. It's a great opportunity for the Got No Milk program and all the other nonprofit and charities that are benefiting by this program as well. And also, it's America Recycles Day on November 15th. So it's a time for us all to make sure that we are recycling what we can and buying recycled materials as well.
And Mary, you guys also provide shredding services for businesses.
Yes,
and
we do.
We've got Veterans Day coming up.
Yes, we do. But that's every day. You know, it's like Earth Day is every day. Veterans Day is every day for us at Minn Kota. We provide free recycling for all the veterans in the region. You can bring your confidential documents to our 809 4th Avenue facility, and we shred them at no charge. And that also includes any active military in the region as
Fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anything we missed, ladies, that you would like to pass along?
Let's bring our grass and yard waste and garden waste and things like that to any of our recycling drop sites the city has available throughout town with the giant green 20-yard roll-off containers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Grass clippings, yard waste does not go in the blue recycling bin.
Yeah. You see, over in West Fargo, it's green and yellow. And so I could see some people being mistaken because in California we had a green yard waste bin that we used to use. But obviously here, especially in Moorhead, if it's blue, it's not green
and
yard waste.
The reason she's telling you is because mm-hmm. it's a problem and people
exactly.
keep doing it. So knock it off, would ya?
Right. They know. They know what they're doing.
I know.
Most people can read that are at those sites.
And yeah. if you have questions, call yeah. the right. call Jen at the City yeah. of Fargo yeah. Recycling. Mm-hmm. Call Mary at Minn Kota. You guys right. are yeah. always willing to answer questions.
Yeah. When in doubt, throw it out. Otherwise, put it in the recycling bin and do your part. It's yeah. more important than ever.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Tell your friends.
There you go. Thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Important to recycle and keep all that extra stuff out of the landfill so it lasts a lot longer. Again, America Recycles Day is coming up Saturday, November 15th. Tell your friends. Spread the word. 8:26, time now to head to the American Ag Network. Bonnie and friends, wrapping up here. Coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, right around 6:56, we are going to be showcasing Hall & Oates, Ted Nugent, the Nuge.
The Nuge.
Saturday Night Fever was big, 1977.
My hair.
And, it's like so weird.
Yeah.
And two fans in 2014 paid $300,000 to eat lasagna with this famous singer. All that and more, Flatland
I
Music
I hope the
flashback.
Singer made the lasagna or something.
Pavarotti?
No, it's not.
Liberace.
Not even close, either one of you, and they probably had people that made the lasagna.
Oh, well, that's no
what
fun.
What year was this?
2014.
Mm.
Justin Timberlake.
No. You're closer than the two Ludacris. Of them, though.
There's no names out there.
Michael Bublé. Bublé, yeah.
Every one of your guesses have been way off.
Blake base. Shelton.
Britney yeah. Spears.
6:56 tomorrow morning. Flatline Music Flashback. Welcome back, the two of you. What's going on the coffee club today?
Good morning. It's Thursday. So music day. Music at Sweet Trot's Night DJ's Lounge. Lily Daniels. She'll be joining in yeah. us today.
Cool.
I finally got her to get on TikTok. Like, she wasn't posting this stuff. And I'm like, you have to. She sang the national anthem at one of the local games around here, mm-hmm. high school games. Mm-hmm. And it went so viral. Ronnie, how many views do you remember?
A gabillion.
It's like crazy how many views.
She is so good.
She got with this video. Yeah, she is very, very good. Mm-hmm. So she'll be on with us today. If North Dakota was a scent or a candle, what would the scent be?
Mm.
There's a list of things.
That'll be
silage
funny.
Is on the top of my list.
Sure. Alfalfa. Mm.
Yeah, people like love that scent. Yeah,
I love silage. Maybe a skunk is on there, too.
Maybe.
Sauerkraut.
Know. Manure. I don't know.
On-screen
Pig
couples.
Farms.
On-screen couples that in real life hated each other.
Oh, huh.
This will be a fun list.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
Mm. Phrases that instantly annoy everyone.
All right.
And our fun stuff.
In these uncertain times.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of
yeah.
times.
It used to annoy me during COVID, these unprecedented times.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I'm sure you'll trigger memories with your list. All right, Jace, let's get out of
All
here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a great day. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie.